Steve, thank you. That was magnificent. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder welcoming you to the Tuesday edition of our program. We're thrilled that you're here. Listen in. Enjoy. We're 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call us or text us.
It's funny because I find that older people say program.
I'm trying to sound older.
It's about time.
I've been trying to sound young for the majority of my life, and at some point I realized I have to just give in to the fact that I'm old and decrepit, so that starts now.
Well, then say program.
I will say program.
Don't you recall older people, like, you know, what program are you watching?
Right. Yeah, I like it. It's one of those phrases. You can say show, you can say program, you can say, what, you know, I swap them in and out from time to time.
No, we had a guest on earlier. I guess it was last week. I thought it was Friday today, but it isn't. So it's the Tuesday program.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was saying, we were talking about the word gala. Do you say gala or gala?
Mm-hmm.
And it depends about how much money you have.
Yeah. For some reason, gala sounds like you've got a little bit of cash
right.
in the bank. I have no idea why.
That's why both of us say gala.
Yep.
And someone also said that... there's a street, which I've been on as Sanders Road, is actually called Saunders Road in a different part of Lake County and Cook County.
It switches at an intersection.
At Lake Cook Road.
Yeah.
See, now that is stupid.
I don't understand that at all.
Is it Sanders? Is it Saunders? And do you say Colonel Sanders or Colonel Saunders? Because older people say Saunders as
they
well.
They would be incorrect. It's Colonel Harlan Sanders. Steve, go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it's Saunders Road to the south of Lake Cook Road and Sanders
Correct.
To the north, or the other way around.
How did that happen?
I think they ran out of letters in Lake County.
The great Lake County letter shortage of 1906.
Right,
I remember that story.
That, yeah.
Oh, it was sad.
Because there's Pulaski, which we always get bamboozled into thinking that Crawford is at the other end of it, and Crawford was the name of Pulaski's horse, which is not true.
Yeah, that's fake.
But at least it's... I guess different streets have different names in different towns, but they're very different. You don't go from Sanders to Saunders.
Every single time I come to that intersection, I just stare at the two signs and I say, they really needed to sit down and figure out which one was correct, because you can't have both, although I guess they can because they did. So maybe I'm wrong.
Well, someone pointed that out on our Facebook page.
Thank you for being observant, person who pointed that out. Can I tell you something that I observed, and I would love your intake on this? You know about this presidential election, right? You've been hearing about this?
It's this year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're doing it in November, as it turns out. All right. So there's been a lot of debate back and forth about why the Republican side seems to be a little on edge. And then on the Democratic side, they seem to be just a little bit more civil toward each other. Here's what I noticed. And tell me if I'm the only one who figured this out and what exactly all this means, because I don't know. When people talk about the Republican candidates... they talk about Trump and they talk about Cruz and they talk about Rubio. And when they talk about the Democratic candidates, they talk about Hillary and they talk about Bernie. Why is it a last name versus first name thing? Why on the left is everybody so comfortable and friendly that we can call them Hillary and Bernie? It sounds like the older couple that lives in apartment
right.
six. But on the other side, last names only, please.
Because there's a woman involved.
Is that what it breaks down to?
That's what I'm thinking. I like being called Snyder. I really do. But I think people don't, like, if you guys, you know, when you and Dave and
Steve
have your little apartments,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure a little last name thing comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, women aren't called by their last names.
Oh, I wonder if that's what it is. So you think, and that carries somehow over to Bernie Sanders as well, that if it were not him,
well,
if
right,
it were not
you wouldn't
her,
say Hillary and
Saunders.
Well, Bernie.
Saunders.
Bernie lends itself to first name, and he's kind of...
because it seems friendlier somehow.
It's kind of huggable.
Right?
Uncle Bernie.
Yeah.
It is. It's not a presidential name.
Yeah.
It isn't.
Well, we have not had thus far, we have not had any presidents named Bernie, but the name Bernie is fading away. There's not a...
Bernard.
Would you prefer Bernard? Would that be more presidential?
Yes.
Would you be more comfortable with that?
Bernie's like a crazy uncle you go to see.
One of my friends
and thousands are.
right.
They are. One of my best friends in high school's name was Bernie, but he was the only guy in our high school named Bernie. It's one of those names that
I had one Bernie too.
Every school gets one. That's it. You can't have more than one.
That's interesting.
I also realize that the name Chester is completely gone.
Is Grover presidential to you?
No.
Grover?
You can't have a President Grover.
Well, Grover preceded Grover the Muppet, Bill's relative.
When I say you can't have a president named Grover, I mean today.
Right.
I know, of course, we have had. That's weird that we've had no guys named Bernie be president, but a guy named Grover was president at some point.
You said it very Muppet, like, Grover.
Grover.
I don't know, but it is weird that the Sanders-Saunders thing came up, and that's Bernie's last name.
Yeah.
I'm perplexed. Sometimes accidents do happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, you know, the Sanders-Saunders thing, I don't understand why villages do that or the cities do that, where they confuse people, you know, for the roads, you know, going north and south like that, because Schaumburg's got the same thing.
What's Schaumburg's?
Schaumburg has got on Wise Road. It's Spring and Gooth to the north, and then Spring South to the south. And it's like, why would you do that to confuse people like that?
You know, what if you're new to the city again.
And you get
but
that?
It's too similar. That's where the confusion. Because I have been on the Spring and Gooth and looking for Spring, and I was like, which way? What? So it has to be completely different, like the Pulaski Crawford thing.
Yeah.
You can't have, like, especially the same word spring in it. I am so with you, Joe. Who do we write to? Bernie?
Well, and the thing is Schaumburg's motto is progress through thoughtful planning. And I don't think they hit the mark on that one.
They're going to have their motto taken away. That's what it comes to. Well, thank you, Joe. Very cool. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
That's a good point.
How
but again,
that?
Go different.
Yeah, it would make it easier if it was completely different, not as similar. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't like it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and there's a lot more show. Stick around. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN. All right, people can call us or text us. I've already mentioned that, and you already know that. But if you want to, 312-981-7200 is the best way to do it. It's the only way to do it, really.
You want to talk to Carol?
All right.
Did I have to twist your arm?
I had to think about it. Yeah, I would think that'd be good.
Hey, Carol.
Hey.
We were talking about roads and confusing names and Saunders Sanders and Springens Gooth and Spring, I think just Spring.
I think Saunders and Sanders are spelled different, though.
Well, yes. One
it's
has
not,
a U.
It's pronounced differently, but maybe it didn't go all the way through when they first did it, or it was two separate roads and then they connected them. But what I really called about is I live in Richmond, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and there's four roads there that just like come off like a spoke, and they're called East Solon, West Solon, North Solon, and South Solon.
And that was inventive.
Yeah. And then there's one other one that starts out as Triangle Road, goes a few miles, turns to Vandercar Road, goes a few more miles, and then becomes O'Brien Road.
Oh.
And all that changes is there's a stop sign and crossroads, but it's just this one road.
That's a little confusing. Has anybody made any kind of an effort to fix that and just go more uniform with all just one name?
No,
nobody would.
Well, you know what it is. It's because I'm thinking, you know, I went to Riverside Brookfield High School and it's on Forest. But as you go into Riverside, it turns into Ridgeland. So it's like what different towns have different names for it.
To name the road. Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Carol. I think Richmond should take away the innovative motto from Schaumburg for having the north, south, east and west.
If I ever get, and the odds of this are extremely slim, but if I ever get a street named after me, I don't want it to be one of those honorary streets where it's just like
the brown
a half
sign.
A block. And yeah,
you want a full-blown green sign?
That's so half-hearted. I see that a lot in the city.
Look out the window.
There's one. Yeah, there's a couple close to us. Jack Brickhouse Way is about, what would you say, 50 feet across? That's all you get. And Jack Brickhouse was a great guy. He should have his own street.
But why does Jack Brickhouse Way have to share it with Honorary and Epi Lander's Way and Honorary the Magnificent Mile?
Yeah.
And why isn't that a way?
See, he
and
should
he doesn't
his own
have
street.
Honorary.
Well,
nope.
It doesn't say honorary, but I think just by virtue of the color of the sign, that just means for a limited time only. If you're going to enjoy Jack Brickhouse Way, do it right here and now because it's not going to happen in a block.
I would like an honorary. Ah, damn it.
Start again. Try it again.
I would like an honorary honore.
That would be the way to be. And his street should be called Hey Hey Way. That would be better than Jack Brickhouse Way.
I agree.
It's more fun.
All right. And back to Hillary and Bernie. Bill raised an interesting question.
Yeah. On the Republican side, everybody's referred to by their last name. You got your Trump, you got your Cruz, you got your Rubio. It sounds grittier somehow. And then on the Democratic side, it's the neighbors down the hall. It's Hillary and Bernie. Let's invite them over for coffee cake.
Hillary and Bernie sitting in a tree. V-O-T-I-N-N-G. I had to throw an extra
there N. There was an extra N.
Okay. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
All right. I was just wondering, nobody's ever noticed this, but if you relax Hillary's name and Bill's name, you come up with Hillbilly.
I guess you do, don't you? Yeah.
I mean, nobody's ever noticed that. Oh, and what, on your subject of streets?
Yes.
They can always name a street after Obama and call it Obama Way.
I guess they could. All right.
How many shows are you at, Zany's, or are you at the Improv?
No, I'm just driving.
Well, you're
I'm
funny.
I'm driving myself crazy.
Wow, thank you, Kurt.
Bing, bang, boom. You got the material, Kurt.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right, have a good one.
Take care, Kurt.
Hillbilly.
Yeah.
Never heard that
has
before.
A nice ring to it. That's their couple's name.
Oh, like Bennifer?
Yeah. Which is an act, whoever started that should be put, I know they're closing Guantanamo, but their last act before they close it should be the person who came up with that couples, that cute couples.
Kim
Ye? Yeah. They should have to do
that.
Time there.
I agree. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I love your show. I love you guys.
Thank you, Jackie.
You.
Mutually.
I live in Bourbonnais, and half the people call it Bourbonnais, and half the people call it Bourbonnais.
They do, seriously, they people
they do
say
it
Bourbonnais?
It used
joke.
To be Bourbonnais.
That's how they said it?
Yeah, and still
yeah,
is.
Yeah, like half the people call it Bourbonnais. And Bourbonnais is like, it's like a French.
That changed, it changed with the Bicentennial in 76. Before then it was
really?
Bourbonnais.
And then people, that was before people called people boners.
Right.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny.
That was one of the things that happened on the Bicentennial.
Right.
As the president passed the
Jackie changed it.
Jackie, if I'm not mistaken, though, it still is officially Bourbonnais Township. So it's the city of Bourbonnais in Bourbonnais Township.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cray-cray. That,
yeah, it is crazy because I always thought, you know, Bourbonnais, it just sounds nicer.
Well, and then you have your Genoa salami, but it's pronounced Genoa.
Yes.
And
is it Matson or Madison?
It's Matson.
That's what I thought.
I work there. I know it's Matson.
Alsip or Alsip?
That one goes back and forth.
Yeah. Thank you, Jackie Bourbonnais.
Thank you.
It is funny that none of us say it's, you know, we all say Desplaines, but really.
Des Plans.
That's the way it should be said. But that
Hervé Village is his favorite town.
Yes. Right. That's where he liked to visit.
There was a commercial for window cleaning or something, a window replacement company, and it was clear that the singer of the jingle was not from around here.
What did they say?
She sang Des Plaines.
Really?
I believe that's what she said.
Really?
Something with the French pronunciation, yeah.
There used to be a guy on radio on one of the sports stations here who I was listening to one day, and he went on this diatribe about how people are always ragging him because he's not from Chicago. He's from Michigan. But deep down, he is a Chicagoan. He breathes Chicago. He loves Chicago sports. He's going on and on and on. And then he talks about Reeves High School. But it's really Revis High School. But honestly, 3 minutes passed between that slamming of, hey, I'm a Chicagoan, I'm a transplant, but I'm still from here. All right, let's talk about Reeves High School.
That's terrible.
I know.
I think we have time for one more. Joyce is on the line. Hi, Joyce.
Hi. How are you today?
We're good. Sanders Saunders.
Sanders Saunders. I lived across the street from a lovely elderly woman, and we were talking one day, and the subject came up. She says, oh, I can answer that. She said, my name was Sanders before I got married, and I and my family lived at the end of that street, so that was Sanders Road.
Oh.
And she said, at the other end was the veterinarian, and his name was Saunders, so that was Saunders Road.
No way.
That's what she said.
Was she mostly trustworthy? Because I wonder if she was messing
very
with you.
Elderly, too.
Oh, was she?
I mean, she was like 95, so she'd been around a long time. And
I guess.
Told me all of the area that was farmland and everything before. So
if Bernie Sanders comes here to campaign, Steve, when he goes to Lake Cook Road, will he have to be Bernie Saunders on the right side of the road and Bernie Sanders?
I think so.
How does the Bernie cross? Why does the Bernie cross the road?
To get more votes.
To get away from Hillary. Thank you, Joyce.
Thanks, Joyce.
And it's just like, you know, if you're watching Making a Murderer, they have Avery Road in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, named after the Avery family.
Yeah.
Because that's where their car dump is.
Yeah, right.
I want a road named after me.
But a real one. Not one of these honorary ones.
All right,
not enough.
I'm with you on that.
All right, let's take a break. Steve with the news. A lot more show coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy on. Steve, thank you. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. You already know you can call in whenever you like at 312-981-7200. Here, this is strange. Fears that you've had and fears that I've had have actually now become realities. There's a couple of strange stories in the news, and I think they're things that many people fear, but you think, oh, I'm safe. This will never happen.
Have you ever walked down the street and you come across a manhole cover and you think twice about walking over it?
Almost every time.
Me too.
Yeah.
I don't even walk over it. I'll walk under a ladder before I'll walk over a manhole cover.
I get that with manhole covers, and in the city, there's a couple of places where on the sidewalk,
the grates.
There's grates, and I go, I don't think so. I'll walk around this.
See, I like going on those when I'm wearing a skirt so I can pretend I'm Marilyn Monroe.
Sure.
Tinley Park, Illinois. Dateline, Tinley Park. A Frankfurt woman fell down an open manhole after a shopping trip to Tinley Park Best Buy.
Oh, no.
She filed a lawsuit in Will County Court. Linda Radcliffe claims to have suffered, quote, serious injury. Yeah. In the February 2015 tumble, is suing the Village of Tinley Park, Brookside Marketplace, the Diaz Group, and Mike's Landscaping Services. On the day in question, Radcliffe stopped.
Why Mike's Landscaping?
We'll find
out.
Because
they didn't put a shrub up where the manhole was. That's what you should do. Make it decorative. So it serves as both a warning and it's pretty. You see it and you go, that's nice. I won't fall down a hole there.
On the day in question, Radcliffe shopped at Best Buy and on her way out of the store fell into an uncovered manhole, the lawsuit claims.
Oh, no.
And that's it?
It should say how deep the manhole was.
Well,
was it your standard manhole, like a 12-foot drop or something?
How do you know a manhole is 12 feet
deep? I
did
some work with the manhole industry for a while. Did a little side job for them.
And I'd like to see that the feminists did not get their ideas put in motion
don't.
Because they didn't want it called a manhole.
No one wants a manhole.
All right.
It should be a person hole.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Something more generic.
So and a woman fell down it, so it should be called a woman hole.
In this case.
But that's all I have. I don't know what she bought at Best Buy.
Why the landscaping company has been drawn into this?
Thank you, Mokina Patch. That's your whole story?
There should be more to that story. The depth of the manhole is the key ingredient to how much we feel sad for her. Like some manholes are just a couple of feet, but some of them are really deep.
But if you're walking out and you're not expecting it and you fall down.
Sure, it's always bad.
Even if it's 2 feet, you could really injure yourself.
Right.
Too bad she didn't buy a big screen TV because that would have stopped her from falling. You know what I mean? If she's
or
carrying
a 2x4 if
right.
she was calling it, if she
but
had
she was
it
at
width
Best
wise.
Buy.
Yeah.
She wasn't at Home Depot. That's all I have in the story, though.
I want more.
I do too.
Come on, Patch. Do some research, for heaven's sakes.
All right. What's your fear?
All right. I have a couple of these. One of them is ridiculous. Well, they're all ridiculous.
they're fears. I mean,
everyone
it's not rational.
Did you ever go to one of those places that they do the like 10-minute oil change or 15-minute oil change? And when you go in, they open a big glass door, like a big glass garage door, and then they, you know, like they do on an airplane tarmac, they give you the two hands and they're like, come on, a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. But you're going, what you're doing is you're driving into their service center. And there's a giant hole in the floor where
so they can get
service your car. But my fear is always that even though he's going, okay, keep going, keep going, keep going, that he's not good at what he does, and I'll just go through that hole in the floor. Have you ever had that fear at all?
Never, because it's not big enough. You are driving over it. You're not driving into
you
it ever.
You could drive into it, though. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't think my people never let me do that.
They do it themselves?
Yeah. Me too.
I go to this place called Lazy Oil Change.
Lube.
They make me do, I actually have to do the oil change. Isn't that crazy?
Great.
And then I have to convince myself that I need oil filters at a high markup.
Do you get the people really stale coffee while you're doing
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know what makes me more nervous than that? I've never thought about falling in that giant hole.
That crevasse?
I was going to say crevice.
Say crevasse.
No, I was going to say crevice. Right. You're richer than I am.
I have a lot of money.
Gala.
Yep.
And what makes me more nervous than that is getting on the track on a drive-through car wash.
Right.
That freaks
right.
me out.
Because I did one time ruin a tire because the guy was guiding me improperly.
Oh, yeah.
Your car is at the discretion of that guy to go.
I don't have a guy. I just do the put the quarters in and
there's a guy
you're
by,
on your own.
The guy at the wash place that I usually go to, and that it's a different guy every time, but there is one guy who's usually in there, and he does this thing. I know he's messing with people where for a half a second he goes, more to the left, more to the right, more to the left, more to the right. I know he's messing with people. I know they're not that far off the track. Just let,
it is just a little spot to get your tire in, though.
I know. Well, the one that I bring this up is, I know you're not much of a skier, but I love to ski, and when I'm on that chairlift, that's the scariest part of skiing to me. The skiing, I could ski all day. I love skiing. But just that chairlift, just knowing that your whole life is suspended by that cable.
I'd never get
in
one.
Oh, is that scary. Oh, is that scary.
It happens, too.
It happened over the weekend in West Virginia. 25 people fell to the ground after a ski lift derailed at the Timberline Resort in Davis, West Virginia this morning. This happened over the weekend. The drop is about 30 feet. Or roughly three manholes, according to the Tinley Park patch. Two people were hospitalized with non-threatening injuries.
Thank God.
About 100 skiers were left stranded on the ski lift after this derailment. The remaining skiers were evacuated within 2 hours. Now, they showed this on the news, and there were a couple of ways that they got people off the ski lifts. One of the ways, if they were low enough, is they would bring a ladder up and they would help you get on the ladder and bring you down. But for the people who were higher up, they did that thing that they do in cartoons where they held out a giant canvas.
And you had to jump.
You had to jump. That seems dangerous to me.
All right, well, better stranded than dead.
Way better stranded than dead.
That's what my bumper sticker says.
It's true. And you've seen, there was a movie out a couple years ago about these people that got stranded on a ski lift. Did you ever see this? I can't remember what the name of it was.
And they had to eat each other?
They didn't have to. They chose to. And they had food with them, but they just went, this doesn't
look
healthy.
Delicious.
Right? Let's just eat each other. The corn dogs look stale. That was the title.
Well, I don't think they had mustard.
Right. They were without mustard. Right. You've had a corn dog without mustard, Steve.
No,
you
never,
can't.
I wouldn't do it.
It's terrible.
It.
No. So they did. They ate each other instead. No, the whole movie was about the fact
what
that...
What is this movie?
I can't remember the title, but the premise was it was the last run on like the last day of the season. And these people are like, what the heck? Let's take one more run. And they got up on there, and then they closed it all down. I'm sure this happens all the time at ski resorts. I'm positive.
Frozen?
No, I don't think it was called
Three
Frozen.
Three skiers stranded on a chairlift are forced to make a life or death choice.
But Frozen is the Disney movie.
Yeah. Obviously not, guys. This was in 2010. It's called Frozen.
They did sing Let It Go when they were up on the ski lift, Steve.
Emma Bell, Sean Ashmore.
That's it.
Ed Ackerman. I don't know any of these people. Kane Hodder.
Yeah, Kane Hodder was in it. It was one of Kane Hodder's greatest films. It's really compelling, and it's frightening because you go, oh, that, I guess that could happen.
Yeah, they're stranded on a chairlift. They're forced to make life or death choices, which prove more perilous than staying put and freezing to death.
Here's a fun tip. If you have little girls at home and they want to see Frozen, mess with them and get this version of it. They'll love it. It'll be a good time for everybody.
You're a man of many ideas. So what happened real quickly, because we have to do a Tech Tuesday?
They eventually did, you know, save the skiers. Everybody got down. But it's one of those things that when you go on that, you go, there's no way this thing could just stop or fall or anything, right? Yeah, it happened.
But then you're sitting on it and it lurches to a stop and you like go forward?
I know.
I don't think so.
I know. Well, there were people who fell off of this because they had already taken off. Like you bring down this
cage-like thing?
Yeah, from the top. It's up there, so you bring it down. Although the first time I was ever on one in, where was this, in Telluride? My wife and I rode it all the way from the bottom to the top, and then we get to the top, and the guy goes, wow, you guys are pretty gutsy. I didn't know that the cage came down, because the ones that I rode in Wisconsin, you didn't have it. It was just a small lift. So he goes,
they should tell you.
I know. I started telling people. I'd tell strangers.
Bill stayed there for the rest of the afternoon. Yeah. Please
so
pull the cage down.
Just so you know.
Yeah. Just making sure. All right. We'll take a quick break and then Tech Talk. It's Tech Tuesday with Ian Schur. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
It is a Tech Tuesday. That's what this music means. And typically we talk to Bridget Carey from CNET. But today we are talking to Ian Schur. And Ian, this whole FBI Apple issue that's going on, have you picked a side on this?
Have I picked a side? I it's fascinating to watch. I think that when you look at the fight that's going on between the technology industry, really, and the government, it's really fascinating to see who's going to get an edge on this, because, of course, there's much larger implications than just getting into an iPhone. And it's really fascinating watching Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, who's been very public on this since it really started happening last week, basically starting to use the vocabulary of American ideals in his discussions, right? He sent out an email yesterday, for example, that said, you know, Apple is a uniquely American company. It does not feel right to be on the opposite side of the government in a case centering on freedoms and liberties that the government is meant to protect. That's very political speech, and it's very fascinating that he's starting to use basically language that you would expect to hear from a presidential candidate or read out of some of the founding documents of this country in his arguments against the FBI. And so it's going to be really fascinating to watch how these things play out, because, of course, there are very large implications no matter where this ends up.
Ian, as of now, the government has asked Apple to create a way for them to access information from a phone. They
from
haven't
the San
ordered
Bernardino
it.
From the terrorist. Yeah. I mean, he's a terrorist.
Right. He is a terrorist. But they can't order it, can they?
It's actually not giving access to the phone. What the government wants is that they want a way to be able to guess a bunch of passwords to get into the phone. Apple's iPhones by default have a feature that will erase the phone after 10 incorrect password tries. And so they want to be able to do more than that, right? That's basically what they're asking Apple to do, is to come up with a way to disable that function.
That's it? I mean, when I hear it that way, because,
yeah.
You know, I have mixed emotions on this. First of all,
of course,
I don't have anything to hide, so I don't really care. Anybody could go into my phone and look at it, and nothing would incriminate me. However, if I broke the law, I
you
feel like
forfeit
I forfeited
that right.
That right.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
especially
and
killing
look,
people.
It's worth noting that I think that when you look at Apple in the court of public opinion, it is not working out very well for them so far. So Pew Research did a study that we wrote about on CNET, where they did a survey of people between February 18th and the 21st, and they found that more than 50% of people say that Apple should agree to the FBI's demands and agree to the court demands, and only 38% of respondents said that they should not, and 11% said they didn't know. So That's a pretty good indication that right now there's a fair number of people throughout this country that agree with you. The hard part, I think, is that when you look at the amount of information that's ending up on our phones, already Apple has said that this is not just the FBI in this one instance. They've already received a number of responses that if they create this for the FBI, there are many, many law enforcement people behind them who are going to want this as well. And so they see this as a slippery slope, that if they give one person access, then everyone from law enforcement to despotic regimes that we don't like are going to want this stuff as well, and they're going to get access to it whether or not Apple can control it.
Is it possible, Ian, because I just assumed that this technology was already in place, is it possible that it is in place and we just don't know that?
What do you mean by this technology?
To get through the 10 attempts where it won't erase the
phone? That?
Yeah.
So you would think it would be. We assume that the government is very powerful and able to do a lot. But here's what's interesting is that Silicon Valley especially has somewhat of an anti-government streak ever since the revelations that came from Edward Snowden, who was the NSA contractor who revealed a lot of information about how the government is spying on its own citizens.
Yeah.
And so ever since then, Silicon Valley has really pushed itself in ways that, I mean, it's innumerable. We've written about it a lot on CNET. To do stuff like using encryption, which is what jumbles up all the information in your phone or your computer so that no one without the password can access it. And they've been doing a lot of things to make sure that you and I have basically some sense of privacy away from the government or, again, despotic regimes or whomever, to be able to control our information. And as these little, you know, screens and metal things that sit in our pockets all the time get more information, there's been a lot of interest in this. If you look at consumer usage of encryption, it's been going up steadily over the last couple of years, a lot of it in response to this these concerns. And so here's the conundrum, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still Silicon Valley bows to what the government wants. Then the question becomes, when they tell you, hey, our stuff is safe and it's encrypted, can they actually be honest? right? Can they get, do they have to admit at one point, well, it is mostly safe unless you're a government or someone who's gotten access to the software program that could be copied a million times. And once it's released on the internet once, that's it, right? Then anyone can copy it and it's easy. So that's part of what Apple's argument is in all of this. I'm not saying they're right, but that's kind of the tack that they've taken.
But Ian, we're lied to constantly. We go to sites that it says there's a banner that says this is a secure site, and those secure sites get hacked constantly. So
yes,
we're not always
we
being
are
told
lied
the
to
truth.
Constantly, absolutely. But here's the thing is that Apple makes its money from selling you a device, right? They don't make money from pretty much anything else. So
right.
If they cannot convince you to buy an iPhone in the future, then you are going to ruin their business model, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger. You know, it's unlike Facebook and Google, who they make money off of advertising and targeted advertising at you. And even when you're not on the site, some of that information goes around, and they're able to make a lot of money from a lot of people. With Apple, if the public tide of opinion turns against them, then their business starts to fall apart. And that's their concern, is that they have set themselves up as a secure and safe place. That's how they took down BlackBerry, right? You remember that company?
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, that BlackBerry used to sell itself as a very secure way to communicate until governments like Pakistan and Saudi Arabia and other ones were able to convince them to change their security to allow information and all that type of stuff. It became a much bigger deal. And suddenly governments and companies started moving away from them and toward the iPhone. So now the iPhone is positioned as, hey, we're the secure thing. We've got this government-level encryption. We're going to make sure that your stuff is safe. We don't even want access to your information. We're not going to advertise to you like Google or Facebook does. Now, if you turn around and you actually can't say that with a full-throated argument, it starts to fall apart. And that's what Apple's really worried about, I think.
But this, to me, seems like an extenuating circumstance. I mean, what if it was a child that was involved and was killed or murdered, and the parent said, yes, I can't get into my kid's iPhone, but I give you permission to go into that.
And that's the argument that the FBI makes, is that this is an extenuating circumstance. The argument from Apple, and again, I'm not saying one is right or the other,
right,
is that one extenuating circumstance is not actually the case. Once they create the software once, it can be copied, it can be reused, and all of this stuff suddenly becomes a much bigger deal than just one case. And that's the problem with technology broadly, is that we can't create a tool once. Once you create one piece of software, it can be sent anywhere and used for anything. And that's what Apple's real concern is. And up until now, when they've been ordered to help the government and law enforcement with one thing or another, they've complied, but it's never been to break encryption. It's been to do stuff like go into backups and whatnot, and you know, stuff that in theory they don't have to do any extra work to extract.
But couldn't they come out the heroes of this?
How so?
Just that they're helping, you know, terrorism against we Americans.
But people wouldn't all perceive that as being heroic. Some people would perceive that as you're spying on somebody, even though it is a terrorist.
And you're getting at the point of the argument, right?
Yeah.
There is a very split public opinion over whether or not Apple is the hero for either helping the government if they were forced to, or protecting us from the government. And, you know, if you look at the way that this election cycle is playing out, there is a very strong anti-government message going on right now. And so Apple is not entirely against the tide of public opinion. Pew shows that about at least half of the country is against them on this at this point. But that may change over time. Apple has been able to make these kinds of arguments before and done very well successfully. If you look at the way that they fought against Samsung in the court of public opinion with their lawsuit against them, they were able to turn what was very mundane and kind of boring patent lawsuit into a huge dramatic thing that they look like the heroes of American industry in. So I wouldn't count them out on being able to change the tide of public opinion over time.
Do you ever see them giving in to this?
You know, it's going to be very interesting to watch. I think that, I covered Apple for a number of years when I was at the Wall Street Journal, and I've been following them still here at CNET. And I'll tell you that this company, when they decide something, they are stubborn. That is one thing that they are known for. If you talk to their partners, they'll say the same thing. When they've decided, they will stick to things very strongly. And so it's going to be very interesting if they end up being forced to by the government, how they're going to go about it. Because one thing is for sure, if they end up doing this, they're going to be kicking their their feet in the sky as they're doing it. They're not going to be very happy to turn around.
His name's Ian Schur, executive editor over at CNET.com. I love that website, and you can go and find more information about this whole Apple FBI thing. Thank you so much, Ian.
My pleasure. Take care.
All right, a quick break. Steve with the news, and then more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Did Kevin do this himself this morning?
This is beautiful.
I wish I did this.
This is so beautiful.
I can't stop listening to it.
Right.
President Donald J. Trump, how does that sound?
Interesting.
Is possible.
That, is that diplomatic? It does sound possible.
Where do we go? What do we do? There have been various celebrities that have said, you know what, if so-and-so wins the presidential election, I'm moving. Alec Baldwin comes to mind. If who won? Was it Bush?
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, it was George Bush.
It was, wasn't it?
And right. He did not move.
No.
Ted Nugent said about Barack Obama
that he would either be in jail or prison. He is currently not in jail. And he's, wait, what did he say? He would either be dead or in prison?
Yeah,
is that what he said?
Like
yeah,
that.
He's
yeah,
not
dead,
he's
or
not
in prison, I think.
Dead or alive. Yeah. No, Ted, that's Bon Jovi's song. Well, now there is a place to go if Donald J. Trump wins the presidential election and you're not happy about it. Enter the conversation here. Rob Calabrese, radio host on 101.9 The Giant. You're out in Canada?
I'm out in Canada, yep. That's
oh, the
right,
oat.
Wendy.
The oat kind of helped me realize that. And you have an idea of where we can go to, is it seek asylum?
Well, no, not at all. It's come and enjoy our way of life. You can seek, it's not seeking asylum. It's just,
it's
hey,
an alternative.
You don't like the direction the things that are going. I just wanted to let everyone know there are alternative places to live.
So
for
what
example,
would we get?
Our lovely island.
Let's say we take you up on this offer, Rob, and a lot of people are certainly considering it. What would we get there at Cape Breton? What is the lifestyle like there?
Well, it is always named in on the top of the lists when it comes to beautiful islands by travel magazines. Our people are famous for our friendliness and hospitality. We have a rich culture with which is a Celtic culture. A lot of people even speak Gaelic here still.
Mm-hmm.
We have a proud and vibrant... Oh, well, it's Scottish. When they cleared out Scotland, everyone kind of came here.
Oh, right.
And that's the origin of the place. But a First Nations or Aboriginal community is proud and vibrant as well. And it's peaceful. And there's no very little violent crime and... It's an outdoor person's dream.
And Donald Trump has no jurisdiction at all over this area. If he's president of the U.S., he can't touch either. Unless, what if he builds
a
wall around it, though?
Then
yeah, that's right. I mean, in Canada, every American president and decision you guys make affects us in some way. Maybe it'll be a big way, maybe it'll be a small way, but you're right. It's a separate country, so...
What do you think? We're talking to Rob Calabrese. He's Canadian. He's an on-air host for 101.9 The Giant. What kind of, you play pop music? What kind of music? What's on your playlist?
Yeah, we play top 40 music.
All right, and you've been following this the primaries and such. What do you think? Do you think Trump's going to win?
I don't know. I've been following it incredibly closely. I think this is the best. I love the American election process.
Well,
we've watched every debate. My wife and I have watched all the caucuses, all the primaries. We listen to podcasts and American radio about American election intrigue. The personalities are excellent. The narratives are compelling. It's better than Sons of Anarchy, Walking Dead, and Game of Thrones combined.
But with the word anarchy firmly in place in both. Wouldn't you agree? So what happened? You thought of this, Rob. When exactly did you say, hey, the people down in America are a little confused by what's going on. Let's offer them an alternative. What happened?
Well, basically, like you mentioned earlier when you talked about Ted Nugent and Adam Baldwin, or one of the Baldwin
Alec.
Guys.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin, yeah. Every time there's an election in the United States, we hear the common lament or threat, I guess, if so-and-so wins, then I'm going to move to Canada. And usually it's Democrats saying this. And basically, in anticipation of that, because we expect it to happen again as we get closer, and even people are saying it now, you hear that now, because we have a severe population problem here. We're running out of people.
Yeah.
So we thought, hey, look, if you guys are going to come to Canada and you're serious about it, look at this nice little option for you right here.
And if you're a Chicagoan, you already share with us the love of hockey, you know, so that's an easy transition.
Absolutely.
We love maple syrup here in Chicago. We can't get enough of it. I know that there's a surplus there. So the transition would not be that dramatic for us, I don't think.
No. And specifically, I mean, because this is a diverse country, as is the United States.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have the melting pot theory of society, where ours is more of the mosaic, where people can kind of keep their old ways.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
So regions of Canada differ more so, I think, than regions of the United States. So here, I can tell you that pretty much everybody will speak English.
Good.
Many will speak other languages like French or Gaelic and Mi'kmaq, which is the Aboriginal language here. But I'm pretty much certain everybody can speak English.
And your prime minister, Justin Trudeau, seems to be a fairly upstanding guy. People seem to like him.
Well, I mean, he's only been there since October, so he's still in the honeymoon period, I think. But
in America,
right, he's quite popular, yeah.
Rob, you got to understand, in America, if you were in charge since October, you'd already have a dozen scandals under your belt.
Yes. Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
So Camp Breton is an island. Nova Scotia, is that exactly where it is?
Correct. It's an island off the coast of Nova Scotia, which is a province.
Do you have whales out there? I'm just looking at some of the tourism,
oh,
and boy, do
man.
You have stuff to
whales.
Do.
We got whales coming out the, you know.
Out the blowhole.
Sure, yeah.
All right, so humpback whales, that's what they are?
Yeah, we've got all kinds of whales.
Man, there are
you
so
name
much-
the whale, and Rob will set it up, Wendy. If that's all that's holding you back, Rob can make that happen.
Yeah, we have whale-watching tours here that actually guarantee whales.
Really?
Yeah.
Any particular whale season?
Well, usually the tours operate in the summer, which is like the tourist season, but the whales have no preference.
Huh. What about restaurants? Good food there?
Yes, we have restaurants as well.
What?
Oh, man, yeah.
You have whales and restaurants? I'm ready.
What's the weather like?
Whales and restaurants.
The weather is...
I've heard a lot about Chicago, but I can tell you likely that our winter is probably not as cold as yours.
Good. Do you get a summer where it's warm enough to swim?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I'm going.
For sure. It doesn't get as hot as there. It's probably, if you can imagine the weather in Maine or New Hampshire, it's likely almost the same.
Do you have lobster?
Yes.
Oh, there is Canadian lobster tail, which is really very good.
Oh, yeah. My first job was working on a lobster boat when I was a teenager.
That's pretty impressive.
That is
cool. No one said anything.
That's my town. The town I'm from has 600 people. It's a lobster town.
Really? Bill, this is sounding really
good. It's sounding better. The more you say, Rob, honestly, it's sounding more and more convincing.
We have Rob Calabrese on the line, on-air host for 101.9 The Giant, and we have a listener who has an idea for you, Rob. This is Patrick. Patrick, this is Rob Calabrese.
Hey, I wanted to know if Canada wanted to trade Trump for the crazy mayor Rob from Toronto.
Rob Ford.
Yeah, he's all finished now, though.
Maybe he could be Trump's VP.
Wouldn't that be a thought?
Yes.
Wait, Patrick, if he's crazy, why would you want to trade Trump for him? Is he better than Trump, in your opinion?
He's more of a partier guy. He looks like he's a little bit more inclusive.
His brother's still on the prowl, isn't he, Rob? Isn't Rob Ford's brother still out there? Yeah.
His brother is a member of council, and I believe Rob Ford's also a member of council, although has been having some health issues as of late.
No.
All right. Well, thanks, Patrick. Rob's not going for it, but not a bad idea.
Rob, if we want in on this, if we want to denounce our citizenship here in the U.S. and move out to Cape Breton, what's our next move? What do we have to do?
Well, you can go to the website, which is called cbiftrumpwins.com. Mm-hmm. There's all of the questions and answers right there, especially about the immigration process. And here's the other thing, Bill. You don't have to renounce your citizenship.
You don't?
At all. You can become a dual citizen.
Oh,
I like that idea.
That would be handy.
Hmm.
All right.
And that basically means if more than one country considers you a citizen, then you're a dual citizen.
I like it.
That would be cool at dinner parties to whip out both your passports.
Yes, it would.
That's right.
Yes, it would. You could sit at the adult table with that.
Rob, people laugh at this and think it's a crazy idea. I know Rolling Stone interviewed you about this, but I bet your people population's going to go up in Cape Breton.
That's why I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
More men to women. What's the ratio there?
It's probably more women.
Really?
All right, Bill just got his passport.
Well, the reason being, because our population is dropping, it's economic reasons that are making it go down, but a lot of men go out to work in the oil sands in Alberta.
What's the ratio of centers to forwards?
Centers to forwards? In hockey?
Hockey, yes. Going back to hockey.
Probably 2-1 forwards, I would guess.
Yeah, well, a center is a forward.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, I'm thinking of wingers, I guess.
Don't talk hockey with a Canadian.
Right. I am out-dueled right off the bat. I am.
Yeah.
Rob, it's a great idea you've had here.
Pardon me?
It's a great idea.
Well, thank you very much, guys, for getting in touch. I mean, you can find out. And one thing, if I can.
Sure.
Because this seems like a pretty loose show where there's no one staring at the clock.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... What I think about Donald Trump is totally irrelevant. After all, as many people have pointed out, I'm just some bozo in Canada who shouldn't be sticking their nose in.
Oh, we don't see it that way.
Well, it's true, but what we've been hearing is a lot of people are nervous about the things that he has said in his campaign and are scared by those things.
Yeah.
And those are the people that I was trying to reach. So if I agree or not with Donald Trump, I'm sure you all have heard people who are being made quite nervous about things he says on campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us all nervous. It really does, good or bad.
Well,
I think
makes some people very excited as well.
Yeah, but I still think there's some nervous energy for the people who even support him. I think he's nervous. How the hell am I going to do this? It'll be huge. All right, well, this is an option, definitely, Rob. And is 101.9 The Giant online? When are you on? Maybe we want to listen to you.
Well, that would be great. I actually had to take this week a vacation off work so I could answer calls and answer emails. And
good.
Stuff.
That shows there's
I'll be back next week.
There's a lot of interest. That's good news for you.
Well, yeah, there sure is.
Rob, thank you. Good luck with all this.
Thanks, Bill and Wendy.
Thank you. Is it just thegiant.canada? How do we find your website?
No, it's giant1019.com.
Giant1019.com.
Thank you so much.
Well, we may come visit you.
Well, hey, look, and I'll make this promise to everyone. You come here, we're going to have lobster tails on the barbecue in my backyard.
Mm.
And you're buying them?
Mm.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, we'll see you.
Done.
Thank you, Rob. Right. Good luck to you.
Two tails per person.
Wow.
Just got better.
That's the promise of the century
right
there.
Do we hear three?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Rob. Take what care. A nice guy.
Wow. That's as generous can be.
If you go to capebreton.com.
It's beautiful,
it's
isn't it?
Gorgeous.
Yeah. It really is.
You may be going there at the mid-November.
All right. That's easy. All right. We'll take a quick break and then give you more show. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN.
We were talking to a radio DJ who didn't sound like a DJ.
No, maybe that's just an American thing. The people who do radio here have a sound to them. Maybe in Canada they're above that somehow.
Although he wasn't, like, on the air.
Oh.
You know, and it's a top 40 station because he said, you know, boy, you guys don't pay attention to the clock. We should. We didn't.
Yeah.
So he's gotten more than 2,000 inquiries in the first 3 days about people wanting to move.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't expect that many. That's
and
tremendous.
He claims 90% of them are genuine inquiries.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but he got so many that he had to turn it over to the tourism board because so many people were interested. Of course, there is... free health care there.
Yeah, all through Canada.
And I know people that are from there that, you know, say people who complain about it here and say, oh, you have to go to these terrible quack doctors. She said it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know? And somebody wanted 630, if we do go, if Trump wins, take Kanye with you.
Oh, that seems a bit much, but okay.
I don't, if I go, he's not coming with us.
No.
847, tell Rob if the Dems win, I'm moving in. Get the lobster tail ready. 815 wants to know, is marijuana legal there?
would that be the deciding factor for somebody?
Maybe.
Oh, all right.
Whoa, forgot to vote.
Again. Let's do this. A break, some news, more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Call us. Text us. 312-981-7200. We'd be thrilled to hear from you.
Hello.
Hi. did you hear about this restaurant owner? There's a guy who owns a very nice restaurant in Paris. Michelin rated, I might point out.
Which I still don't understand why a tire company rates it.
Is it a? I think it's. Is it the same?
Yeah, we asked somebody because it's like if it's not good and it tastes like tires, is that why?
Is that why?
Yeah, I just don't get why it's connected.
A guy out there has decided he is going to ban all bankers from his fine restaurant because he applied for a bank loan and was denied. So the turnaround is he's like, if you deny me, I will deny you. No bankers allowed in the restaurant.
How will he tell?
See, that's the question. The Parisian restaurant owner has decided to ban all bankers from entering and dining his eatery. This according to Huffington Post this morning. The story is traced to the International Business Times in Europe. His restaurant, now I can't say the name. You speak some French. I don't. How would you say this?
Les Écuries de Richelieu.
And that means what? No, no bankers. No bankers allowed.
No rich people.
Sorry, bub. It's owned by a man named Alexander Calais. It features an extremely prestigious Michelin rating, as I pointed out. Calais was looking to secure a loan for 79,000 euros so he could open a second restaurant. He claimed that his little place in Paris is very profitable. And also said he's never had any kind of money troubles, which makes the fact that he got his loan refused puzzling. The restaurant now has a sign saying, although dogs are welcome to the restaurant, bankers are banned from the establishment.
So dogs, but no bankers.
Right. First of all, are dogs normally seen at a Michelin-rated restaurant? That surprises me. I know life is a little bit different in Paris, France, than it is here in Chicago, but That part surprises me, but then just the mere fact that you could put up a sign saying no bankers.
Well, that's they let the dogs in because that hurts them more.
Right.
You'd rather have a chien instead of me?
Yeah.
A banker? That's how you say it in French.
Is a chien a dog?
Yeah.
Is that how you say that? I didn't know that.
Sha is cat. Oh. There are a few words I remembered from high school.
Oh. I love a guy. Well, I say I love a guy who holds a grudge, and yet the guy who's running for president on the Republican side and leading seems to be a Hall of Fame grudge holder, and I'm not positive I like him. So what do I know?
Just look for suits. Oh, I can't read that on the air. With an iron pole up there equals a banker.
Is that how he says you can find out who is and is not
That's
a banker?
That's what 630 says.
See, now, legally, you couldn't do that in Chicago. You couldn't have a restaurant and say, you pick the profession. No dry cleaners allowed in my restaurant.
Why not?
You couldn't do that.
Why not?
People would
it's
be...
It's not race, religion, creed. It's occupation. If you own the restaurant...
I don't think that would fly.
Well, I don't know if it would fly.
I think there'd be so many groups upset. No matter you pick the profession. I think if you said you're a radio show host, I don't want you in my restaurant.
Can I tell you, if I owned
upset.
A restaurant, I would never let radio people in because all they want is free food.
Right.
I would never serve Eddie or Jobo or anyone.
Oh no.
I'd have them to my house, but if I owned a restaurant, no way, no how. I am one. I know.
I know.
And somebody said the tire company, the Michelin tire company, promoted travel. So
is that what's behind
they
it?
They had a guide, and people would buy more tires if they're traveling.
I didn't know that.
We had someone on because we heard Michelin, and we're, you know, why would it be the Michelin Tire Award?
Right.
But it is Michelin stars.
Is that giant guy, you know, that guy that they have in the ads who's made out of tires? Does he come to the restaurant and rate it?
The Michelin Man.
Bim? Is his name Bim?
If it is, you need help.
Why?
Because how do you know that?
I think that's his name.
Michelin
Man. This is a guy who's made, if you ever see him in ads, he's made completely out of tires, but he's happy. He seems happy for a guy made out of tires.
You never cease to amaze me, and no, that's not his name.
His name is not Bim, the Michelin Man?
Nope, it's Bibendum.
No, it's not. Bibendum? That's a ridiculous name for a guy made out of tires.
We all knew him as the Michelin Man, but at 107 years old, it's one of the world's oldest trademarks, by the way.
Yeah.
It's time for all of us to learn its true name, Bibendum, or Bib for short. Why don't we take a break? Because I know you're going to look that up because you don't trust me. And I have some other mascots that I want to see if we're going to test you.
All right.
Because you know so much about nothing.
I've always called him Bim. That's been my name for him. I'm shocked that it's named Bibendum. That's ridiculous.
Bim. Oh, Bim makes sense.
You got a tire guy, you call him Bim. It's fun. It's quick. Bibendum sounds.
Aren't there Bib tires?
Yeah. Are there?
I don't know.
I don't know anything about tires.
Well, I have the whole history of the name of him because I know you don't believe me, and I want to see how you do on the name
with other names
of other mascots.
Bring them. I'm ready. I'm ready.
We should put you up against a listener.
All right. For cash and prizes?
Not for you. How about 312-981-7200? Let's take the seventh caller who thinks they know a lot about...
Mascots from longstanding mascots? Okay.
Because no one will beat you.
I hope not.
I hope you beat yourself.
Never mind. That would be interesting. All right. A quick break. More show. Play against me. Know your mascots, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bim.
You know what? Everything I see on the internet has him as either Bibendum. We're talking about the Michelin Man. Either Bibendum, Bib, or Bibulous.
Which is what I said. Do you not
Bibulobus.
Trust me?
I did not trust you with this. I've always called him Bim.
Well, just because...
I'm wrong.
Listen, you're usually right. Finally, I know you're giddy now.
I'm living a lie. My whole life's a lie. I thought his name was Bim.
An impromptu competition, and I'd like you to meet your challenger. Justin, you're from Lake Villa, and we got to see if you know as much as Bill Left does about stupid things.
Good luck, Justin.
All right.
Good luck.
Sounds good. Thanks.
How do we do this? Do we buzz in?
Yeah.
Or take turns? What do you want to do?
Well, first, I want you to listen to the name of the Michelin Man. Now, would you have known the name of the mascot, the Michelin Man, Justin?
No, I wouldn't have.
That's a tough one.
I have a feeling Bill is going to
I don't know. Justin sounds, he sounds very confident. So
where?
He might womp on me, but I'm a big fan of that board game, the logo game, and I always do really well at that. And I thought, you know, this is kind of up my alley, so let's give it a try.
All right.
All right. So what I will do is I will mention the item, and if you know the name of the mascot, you will buzz in, and the buzzer will be your name. So, Justin, why don't you try your buzzer out?
Justin.
Very good.
I am now going to take on the name Bim as a way to remind me that I don't know as much as I thought I knew.
You know what is just bothering me is we're having a fun little game at one of your specialties. We don't do a name that tune with me, and you still don't believe me that I said Bibendum.
I had to look it up, and you are correct.
And the reason, in 1889, the founders of the Michelin Tire Company, brothers Edouard and André Michelin, noticed that a stack of bicycle tires looked like a man. All it needed was a pair of arms. Years later, a French cartoonist... who I can't pronounce his name, showed the brothers an image of a king toasting a drink that he had created for a local brewer.
Yeah.
Nunc est bibendum. Now is the time to drink, the king said.
Oh, so it's Latin?
They immediately asked him to change the image to a man made of tires, and they came up with the poster above showing Bibendum flanked by his scrawny competitors, beat up by road hazards, with the quote, "Now is the time to drink." That is to say, to your health, the Michelin tire drinks up obstacles.
How scary a story is this? First of all, you got a guy made completely out of tires, and now he's drunk on top of things. there's no part of the story that's good.
Your worst nightmare.
I know.
All right, well, his name is Bibendum,
all right,
which is Latin, and now is the time to drink. And I could see where you would have said bim and bib.
Yeah,
very
I guess
close.
It's close. All right.
All right. I am betting. Oh, God. Where do I start out with? One of them I don't think either of you are going to get.
All right.
All right. You ready?
You name the product, and then Justin and I have to name.
I will name the person, and you will name the name of the mascot.
Okay. All right.
Do you understand this, Justin?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. You ready? Let me check out your buzzers.
Bill slash Bim.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
This is the real name of this mascot, Cap'n Crunch.
Bill.
I'm waiting for Bim. What is it?
Is
you're right all around it. I know you know parts of it.
Is it Horatio Crunch? Is that what it is?
Yes, but he has a middle name. It's Captain Horatio Crunch.
Horatio Crunch? What kind of name is That doesn't seem right. Are you sure?
Magellan.
What nationality is that?
It's Horatio Magellan Crunch. I remember in ads... he would introduce himself as Captain Horatio Crunch. I don't remember the Magellan part.
All right. Well, you still
good.
Got it.
I get a half a point?
No, you got it.
Full point?
I'll
All
give
right.
you a full point.
Thank you.
All right. That's how it works. Oh, God. If either of you get this, I will buy you lunch and kiss you.
Oh,
I'm taking that
this
back.
Is a mixed,
maybe you-
oh. This is a mixed blessing. I'm not sure. All right. Give it a shot.
I will name... The mascot, and you tell me his name.
All right.
All right.
I'm scared now.
Come on. Don't be scared.
I'm just going to let Bill get this one so he's got to kiss you.
All right, you guys both suck. All right, I'm going to say his name, and his name is his name, but he has a first name that you need to know for this mascot.
So the key to this is getting this man's first name.
Right.
All right, go on.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
Mr. Clean.
I don't know this.
You just don't want me to buy you lunch or kiss you. I could just kiss your hand.
On regular game shows, kissing's never a prize. I've been watching Jeopardy
Whatever.
Since I was three.
I
never
things
saw
to be different.
Alex Trebek kiss one of the contestants if they won. Although I know Richard Dawson kissed him whether they won or lost.
He
so,
kissed everyone.
Yeah, he
See,
kissed everybody.
I'm channeling Richard Dawson.
Yeah, but where is he today?
I have a pinky ring on.
I don't know. Justin, do you know Mr. Clean's first name? I do not.
I have no clue.
In the late 50s, Procter & Gamble asked Chicago ad agency Tatham Laird to come up with a name, logo, and ad campaign for their new cleaning product. And they came up with a brawny man, a shiny bald head, and a gold earring supposedly modeled after a sailor, not a genie. Mm-hmm. Within 6 months, Mr. Clean became the best-selling household cleaning product on the market because of that logo.
Oh, how about that?
After 5 years without a first name, Mr. Clean finally got one, and it's really stupid.
What is it?
In 1962, the company ran a promotion, Give Mr. Clean a First Name. The winning entry, this is in 1962, Veritably.
Veritably clean.
So Mr. Wow. Veritably Clean.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
I'm telling you.
Right. Justin, I'm glad we didn't know the answer to that. I feel better about
it. Why? Because I can't kiss you. Then you guys stink.
No, that's not why.
All right, you're both going to get this, so get ready on
our buzzers. All right.
You ready?
Yes.
Yep.
Pillsbury Doughboy.
Bill.
Justin.
Oh, Bill.
It's Poppin' Fresh.
Justin, were you going to say that?
Yeah, there must be a delay because I'm on a cell phone because I certainly heard my name before. Wait, you said Bill. You didn't say Bim.
Right. I keep going back and forth. I'm like Sybil.
All right.
Sid Bim.
So what's the score?
I have two. Justin is in second place with currently zero, but that could change.
Second place.
Second place is not bad. You're still in the money.
All right. I got to tell you, Justin from Lake Villa, my money's kind of on Bill for this one.
Oh.
Yeah.
But
okay.
you might know it. Are you ready?
All right. Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, darn it.
What?
All right. Again, we're looking for... the first name of this mascot.
Okay.
The Honey Nut Cheerios B.
Oh, I don't know this one. The Honey Nut Cheerios B?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, gosh. I feel like I do know this one and I can't recall it.
Is it Aunt B?
Justin, you win just because he's an idiot.
I lost a point for being an idiot? That's not fair. I'd be down 10 million points.
Aunt B. It's not a woman. It's a male. Just guess, Justin. What would be like a fabulous name for a bee?
Buzzer.
Is it Buzzer the bee?
It's Buzz.
I give you get it, Justin. You get it. So we're tied. I lost a point for being an idiot.
I'm still up. You're not really an idiot.
No, I am. It's 2-1.
All right, my money bets that neither of you get this.
Oh, thanks for believing in us.
You ready?
Yes.
Ready.
The name, the first name only of the Twitter bird.
I didn't know there was a Twitter bird until just now. I just knew that there was Twitter a week ago.
I didn't know the bird had a name.
The Twitter bird has a name. Kevin, do you know it? I'm just curious.
Tweet?
Is it Tweet the
Twitter
bird?
No, that's a great guess.
I feel like I've
heard that. That is a good guess.
It's Larry the Bird, as in the famous basketball star Larry Bird, who played for the Boston Celtics.
Oh, that's excellent. Good.
The home state team of Twitter co-founder Biz Stone.
That's pretty cool. Now, is it Biz Stone?
I think Mr. Clean looks more like a Larry.
He does, doesn't he? Is it Biz Stone? Because I always thought it was Bim Stone, but it's Biz?
It's Brimstone.
It's
That's
Brimstone.
What it is.
All right.
All right, I have one more.
It's still 2-1, my lead.
Okay.
Double or nothing, so that if Justin gets this, he'll win.
There's no way either of you guys will know the last two.
All right. Try us.
Do you know what Reddit is?
I know what Reddit is, but I didn't know they had a mascot.
I know this one.
The Reddit alien. Justin or Bill?
No clue. I think Kevin wins.
Kevin, do you get to... You can help Justin out. Do you want to be a lifeline?
Oh, yeah.
Justin, do you need a lifeline?
Absolutely.
Snoo.
You're absolutely
Seriously?
Right. Snoo.
And that's an alien on Reddit?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Co-founder Alexis Ohanian and Steve Huffman dreamed up an online food ordering service business called My Mobile Menu, pitched the idea to Paul Graham. It got rejected. The next morning, when the duo was on their way back home by train, they got a call from Graham saying that even though he didn't like their idea, he liked the two of them, so build a front page of the internet. The duo coded Reddit in 3 weeks, and they wanted to name the site Snoo, as in what's Snoo?
What's Snoo?
But the domain name was already taken, and the owner refused to sell it, so they chose Reddit as a temporary name and compromised on calling the alien mascot Snoo.
Nice.
What's Snoo?
That's funny. Right? So does it end 2-2, or what happens?
All right, we have one more, but it's news time. We got to get Bertrand in on time. Let me just... Neither of you are going to get this. The name of the logo, which is the Android robot.
Yeah, I don't know that one at all. That's
too new. I
don't
know either.
These should be classic ones, like Sunny
Next Time.
Cocoa Puffs.
Cuckoo Puffs?
Yeah, Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
It's Bug Droid, the Android
robot.
Yeah,
nobody knows that.
All right.
Is there a prize for Justin? Can we give him a prize?
Justin, you did pretty well. How would you like a Lou Malnati's gift certificate? Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40 Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Does that sound good?
Who wouldn't like a Lou Malnati's gift certificate?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Justin.
Hey, sorry I wasn't a better competitor.
You did great. You were fantastic. Thanks
for playing. You were pretty good. These were hard. Thank you, Justin. Hang on and we'll set you up. How about that little impromptu game?
That worked out nicely, didn't it?
Congratulations, Bim Snoop.
Yeah, thank you very much. A break and then Steve coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks. Hi, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy, part two of our Tuesday show. To participate, 312-981-7200 gets that done.
Can I just say one sentence to you?
Yeah.
The King's got a whopper.
That's according to the front page of today's Chicago Sun-Times. That's exactly the sentiment that they are echoing. The King... It's got a whopper.
And we're not talking about burgers. Isn't that a little risque for the front of the Sun-Times?
Well, yeah, it is. And, you know, the bigger question is this. It's a major metropolitan newspaper, and they've sold, I'm going to say, roughly 80% to advertising, to Burger King. When you buy the Sun-Times today, you get one cover of the Sun-Times that looks like Burger King is the biggest story in the world, when in reality they're introducing a hot dog, which I guess is a big story.
It's on the back,
maybe
too.
Maybe not
I
front
mean,
page. Yeah, it's a wraparound. It's
okay,
a wraparound.
So I would say 90%.
Yeah, if you count the back as well.
The Whopper of hot dogs has arrived, and it's a grilled hot dog, and I have to tell you, it did its trick, because I was looking for a Burger King around here.
Oh, it did. Yeah. There's a real Sun-Times cover inside that has, you know, other regular news, but there was a time where the front page of a major newspaper was not for sale. That was prime property that you just couldn't buy. That space was reserved for the stories of the day. And then slowly, newspapers realized to survive, sadly, they have to give up prime real estate. So you're seeing more and more ads on the front page. And in this case, it is the front page and the back page.
That Burger King scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, he is. We talked about ad spokes people
mascots.
In the first. Yeah, mascots. He is one of the more peculiar mascots. I'm fine with it, but it is nightmarish.
You know why I'm not fine with it? Because there was one Burger King commercial where he appeared in a woman's bed. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
That is when the nightmare started for me.
Yeah.
It is a freaky, kind of Chucky-like, killer clown from outer space type of Burger King.
Expressionless, plasticky.
Well, he is plastic.
He is plastic. Now, it does say, if you study the paper, you'll notice that there's a red strip alongside that says advertisement. So you really have to be looking for it to see it. But it's it's their way of saying, I know this looks like it's a big news story, but as you can see, it's an advertisement. And you'll see that
advertisement.
You'll see that in other parts of the paper, too. A lot of times you'll see an ad or a story about something, and you'll go, wow, how about this? I'll read this. But then if you notice really closely, it'll say advertisement or advertisement at the beginning or the end of it.
You know, that brings me to another thing. First of all, you have the Chicago Tribune in hand as well. Is there a big wraparound?
No, there's not.
Because this is huge. I know they've done this for, like, maybe when the Blackhawks are doing well or a sports team. But I don't think I've ever seen a complete wraparound. And on the inside, introducing grilled dogs, the Whopper of hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They are, they're grilled and made with 100% beef. I have never seen an advertisement.
Well, the good news is for people like me who are always complaining that the paper's too thin, it makes it just a little bit thicker. It takes you an extra 10 seconds to read the paper.
More for the puppy training.
Right.
Or the birdcage.
Right. So that's not the worst thing in the world, I guess.
All right. So this brings me to things on the internet. You had mentioned in newspapers, you will see, like, it looks like a story. They suck you in to read the story. You find out it is an advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the internet, they're doing this thing with this, I don't remember what it's called,
Garcinia Cambogia. Is that what it is?
Yes.
All right.
Good for you, Bill.
How about that?
They have these things like, oh, you will be shocked. Weight Watchers is mad at Jennifer Hudson. And so you click on the, why is Weight Watchers mad at Jennifer Hudson? Has she begun eating again? What's the deal?
Yeah.
And then it's this ad for the
Garcinia Cambogia. And I only remember that because that's where my dad was stationed during the war. He spent a tour of duty out there.
I bet he was in shape.
He came back looking fantastic, I'll be honest with you.
So then you click on the link, and they have this alleged TMZ reporter who has taken this...
Garcinia Cambogia.
I can't say it.
Yeah.
You're right, too.
It's hard to say it.
Once you get it in your vernacular, it's hard to get out.
It's there for keeps.
But so this TMZ reporter allegedly took it and shows her results, and then you look it up to see if there is a TMZ reporter by that name, and the only thing that comes up is ads for...
Garcinia Cambogia. Right?
How can they do that?
If you look at most...
McCarthy, too. There's a one featuring her.
I've seen that one. And she's not connected to it at all. They're just using her name. Yeah, I don't know how they get around that, but I am seeing the placement of ads. Like, if you go to most websites that supply you with news sources, like Yahoo's a good example. I don't know the exact number, but every eighth or tenth story on there, if you look closely, even though it's disguised as a story, it's not. It's an ad. It's a clever way to slide it in and make you believe you're reading the news.
We are being duped.
We're being duped.
Every which way.
Right.
They won't, release any of the information on our iPhones to help terrorism.
Not as of yet.
But you're duped. I mean, we've been duped several times with those stupid slideshows that come up.
Yeah, that's...
Guess who has a twin?
I know. I'm guilty of that on a daily basis.
It's hard not to click on these things.
Yeah. And they're always clever. I've told you this before, but they're always clever enough to say, number 16 will make you wet your pants.
Yes.
Then you go, well, I don't want to wet my pants, but now you've brought me in. What does it say? What is number 16?
But see, now I have to ask you, are you the person that will get on the actual article and go right to 16? to see what it is? Because I don't.
I build up
Me
to
too.
It. Yeah, you got to build up to it.
And usually number 16 or whatever they say, not that exciting.
No, it never is. It never is. But we are, we're susceptible to all of that, as today's front cover of the Chicago Sun-Times proves. Because it's really, to my knowledge, it's the only time that that fake Burger King mascot has ever been on the front page of a major paper.
And it should be the last time.
If everything goes well. Although there's been spokespeople for other fast food places that have been on the front page.
Oh, but not for an advertisement.
Not for good news, for very bad news. Bad news.
Well, right. It just was very deceiving to me. Your complete Sun-Times inside.
Yeah.
And then you're right, the little banner for advertisement.
But you don't even see it. It took me 3 or 4 looks at the paper to realize this was not legit.
You think the king was in trouble?
Yeah, I saw it and I thought, boy, Burger King must have gone out of business or sold to another company or something like that. But no, it's just they've got hot dogs.
And why is it that all the mascots of burger places have red hair? You got Burger King, you got Wendy, and you got Ronald McDonald.
They do all have red hair.
Do gingers like burgers?
Love them.
I think it's like the colors that make you hungry, red and yellow.
Well, those are
that
the
is
two,
true.
From an advertising standpoint, we are taught that those are the most appealing colors to
our
eye.
I just salivated.
So, well, yeah.
And
red
you
and
think
yellow.
Of Italian restaurants, it's almost always the red and white checked tablecloths.
Yeah, yeah.
And blue is supposed to be very calming. That's why the blue in the studio.
Right. To calm us.
So, I remember in school, in high school, they changed the lighting of one of our rooms to like all pink lights because it was supposed to help you like focus more. It was really bizarre. It didn't work.
When it would that have worked? Oh, the overhead,
the overhead
like
lights,
the fluorescent lights.
Like
yeah.
A pink like transparent type thing over it.
I could see that because, and plus you look better because the harsh lighting of a fluorescent bulb does you no justice.
It didn't really help my, you know, adolescent state.
For a while, in between radio jobs, I did some freelance at an ad agency, and one of our accounts at the time was Miller Genuine Draft, and it was explained to me, and I didn't know this, the reason they chose those colors, gold and black, were those were considered to be the sexiest colors on the palette. So they were going for, they wanted to say to the consumer, are you looking for a beer? That is a really sexy beer. We've got it. Here's Golden Black. And it worked. I mean, people bought it up in droves. And a lot of the people say, yeah, the beer's fine, but that color just grabs you.
Is that why you wear Golden Black
all
every
the day,
day?
Every day.
All the day long.
All day long, every day, Golden Black. I don't want any other colors. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got a big show for you. Stay where you are. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Jump.
Garcinia Cambogia also, by the way, does the traffic on Roe Show in the afternoon if you're a fan. I'm on a website called Color Matters, and what they've done here at Color Matters is do essentially what you and I were doing. They're talking about product by product, which colors fit which products. I never thought of this, but they go all out on this. If you've got a food product that is frozen, and you can test this yourself anytime you're in Jewel or Mariano's or something, they find that going with a color, the blue color, is best because somehow subliminally it says to you this is a food that should be frozen, so let's put it in a container, and they show you pictures of frozen food containers that are blue. I never thought about that until just now. I would just look for the word keep frozen on it.
Really?
Yeah. It says the use of distinctive colors to identify products can be seen everywhere from pharmaceutical items to industrial equipment. We were saying, you and I were saying how especially with your fast foods, like the three fast food mascots, your Burger King, your Ronald McDonald, and Wendy all have red as
hair.
Their primary color. So, yeah, red hair. They say some products are packaged in a variety of distinct colors. For example, Kodak's film comes in yellow and black boxes. Boy, how old is this story? Kodak film?
Well,
it's
all right,
still out
let's
there,
change but... it to Kodak cartridges for your printer.
Right. It's still those. Their colors are yellow and black. And Fuji's are green, it says. Other products tend to be packaged in variations of the same or two or three colors. For example, laundry detergents are typically sold in blue, orange, or yellow packaging. The actual design of the container or label may be quite different, even though the colors are the same. They go on to talk about how with kids' candy, the best bet is multicolors. The more colors, the better.
Rainbow.
It's pleasing to the eye.
Yeah.
They show you pictures of Lifesavers. Almost every candy I can think of, if it has different flavors inside the package, they use the spectrum of colors.
Is that why a minority of people like Good and Plenty, because it's pink and black and white?
I don't know. Maybe. Is it? I don't know.
And would people like it more if it was bright orange or rainbowy?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, Good and Plenty's sister, Good and Fruity,
is much more tasty.
Way tastier. But their color palette is everywhere. They have all five of the flavors are represented in their packaging.
But that works with the rainbow colors for candy, especially because if you go to Walgreens and see all the different types of Haribo gummies now, yeah. It used to just be gummy bears.
Yeah.
But they have like gummy peach slices,
cola bottles, rats,
dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But I still tried and true go with the gummy
original
bears because they're all different colors. The other, the peach slices, they're all, didn't I buy those? And none of us really liked those.
Yeah, they were terrible.
But they were all one color.
Yeah.
So my eye automatically goes to the gummy bears, but then I think, oh, I like the bears so much. Maybe I should try the peaches.
Right. So true.
Another website here, fastcompany.com, says yellow, optimistic and youthful, often used to grab attention of window shoppers. So if you're advertising something, and I'm trying to look around, but there aren't really, I guess there are stores here, but yellow would grab your attention if you're advertising something. Red,
it says to me, if I see yellow, I go, there's a cab coming.
I better get out of the way.
Yeah, I should stop because the cab will hit me.
Red, when used in advertising, it indicates energy. And energy increases heart rate. It creates urgency. It's often seen in clearance sales, and that's true when you think about it. I know Kmart has the blue light special.
Yeah.
But typically, if you're looking in any department store, the clearance rack, the sign or something is usually in red.
Right. I think red, if you go to almost any grocery store, red is the dominant color throughout the store for some reason. I guess because it's an attention getter. It's the boldest color, I guess. So that's what's going to get you. But I remember in a marketing class in college how they were saying when they're selling soda or pop or soda pop, different colors represent different flavors, and some of them are obvious. Root beer is always brown, orange is always orange, grape is always purple. But cola, for some reason, is red. If you look at Coca-Cola or Pepsi's kind of red, white, and blue.
That's more blue. Don't you think a Pepsi can is blue?
Yeah, but it's changed a little bit over the years. RC, though, is dominantly blue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're as big of a player as Coke or Pepsi, but that color red just kind of reaches out for you.
Even the cola they had, was it Look? Do you remember that? That was a red can?
Look cola. I don't know if I remember that.
Was it Look or Like? It was something like...
Yeah, there was Like cola for a little bit.
Was it really cola or was it like cola?
Similar to cola.
Like cola?
Right.
But colors really do grab you.
Yeah.
And they say that blue creates the sensation of trust and security, often seen with banks and businesses.
Right.
Green associated with wealth, because I see more green in banks.
For some reason, the bank color that jumps out of me is like a more solid brown, like a more business-like. We're not really going for color. We're just going for business. You know, it's
like
brown.
A brown pair of shoes.
Yeah.
All right. Is this Demetria?
Yeah.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. Thank you. Interesting conversation about color.
Thank you.
A couple of things. In the spectrum, red is at the low end of the spectrum and a cooler temperature, per se, while blue is at the high end or hot end of the spectrum. Another interesting thing about blue, in America, we use blue for boys and pink for girls.
Yeah.
But in India, blue is the color of heaven and associated with women, while pink or rose is associated with men and, you know, muscle and blood and
wow.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, that's so the exact opposite.
Yeah, cultural ways of looking at things absolutely help us interpret what color means.
How do you know all this stuff, Demetria? How are you connected to this?
Well, let me see. I was an art student. I like to think I'm an artist, but usually I'm just in elder care.
I have a feeling you've got some art in you. I have a feeling.
Yeah, and it's also, there's a wonderful course that I took at Columbia College called the Chemistry of Art Color, and they go into various measurements, like in the physics classes, regarding the spectrum with waves and rays. So that stuff was actually the most fun science I ever took in my life.
That sounds really fun. I'm intrigued by all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Advertising is pretty cool, and boy, does it work on me.
Thanks.
Have a great day, you guys.
Bye, Demetria. Thank you so much.
totally works on me. I see this big giant Burger King who scares me, quite honestly.
And yet,
I want to go get a grilled hot dog because the King's got a Whopper and we're not talking burgers.
You didn't go get hot dogs
for us? I couldn't. I know I did tell Steve Bertrand. Poor Steve was waiting for it. I could not. I don't know where the closest Burger King is.
There's one. There. It's
not close.
It's walking distance. It would take you a little while, but, you know.
Are you saying I'm a slow walker?
No.
You told me to leave yesterday.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then a lot more coming your way after that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Nice disco ball.
That's very kind of you, Wendy. Let's talk about CPR training. This is extremely important. This is something that many of us learn to do in high school, but then what happens is you don't keep up on it, and if there's an emergency, you're in trouble, and the person who needs your help is in trouble.
Although you have to want to help them, Bill.
I want to help. I want to help people.
Dr. Vincent Buffalino in the studio with us right now, medical director of Advocate Heart Institute. How are you today, Dr. Buffalino?
Great. Thank you for having us. I appreciate being here.
Well, we were talking about it off the air, and we all learned how to do CPR.
Mm-hmm.
We took it in high school. There was Resusa Annie, who
exactly.
was very scary looking.
Is she still okay, Dr. Buffalino?
She's still good, actually.
She's still alive.
We're still using Annie to drive the training, absolutely.
Good. That's
Although
good
we
news.
Have a new portable one now that you can get for home. That blows up, and you can practice it at home. So it's the new Annie, a modern Annie.
All right, but she's missing a body. You're aware of that? It's
yeah,
just kind
we just,
of a chest
we just
and
do
head.
It's a chest head thing, yes, exactly.
It saves money. Plus, if you see a blow-up girl at a lot of people's houses, people think the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So this is
There's
actually
some stories,
a blessing.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, we came in with the BG Stayin' Alive. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, you know, we changed the recommendations on doing CPR. CPR was a bit of a turnoff for many folks because it was mainly surrounding the whole blow in someone's mouth thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that really made it uncomfortable for folks to tackle that. The science evolved, and actually what they did was develop that, in fact, most of the benefit, in fact, almost all the benefit is from compression. So it's pressing firmly and quickly on the chest to be able to compress the heart, which basically squeezes the blood around it. It pushes the blood around, keeps the blood flowing.
So you're manually pumping the heart is what you're doing.
You're manually pumping the heart. That's exactly what you're doing. And what happened is we learned that it was actually to the tune of Stayin' Alive and that it was at a rate of about 100 beats a minute, 100 compressions a minute. And that's pretty fast if you do it.
It's very fast.
It's pretty quick. We used to do it 60 to 80 times a minute. And what they found is if you do it quicker and you do it firmly, in other words, you got to compress the chest 2 inches. And so that's quite an amount of compression. And so you got to do it fast and hard. And so we really teach people nowadays is you don't need to do anything. Call 911 and start CPR. Press as hard and as fast as you can until you wear out. I mean, and that's the game.
Your arms will burn out, and I'm sure you're going to sit there as you're pressing really hard going, I am going to break this poor person's ribs.
You know what? Break the ribs. It's okay. Because let me just say this to you. You can't hurt these folks. They're dead. It sounds bad, but that's in truth the thing. These folks are gone. They have no pulse. They have no blood pressure. They're gone. And you're their only chance. The only opportunity they have of coming back is because you intervened. And you intervened long enough for them to arrive with the equipment. These automatic defibrillators are these new gadgets that we have that basically come, hook up quickly, and shock the heart. And it can happen anywhere. I'll tell you my story. You know, a couple of years ago, we had a cocktail party of my high school friends. We had been to Napa Valley on a bike tour and bought the wine and shipped it to my house to divide the spoils. And during the first glass of wine, one of my friends had a cardiac arrest living room. So a bit traumatic. Fortunately, there was a couple of CPR-trained nurses there with me. We started CPR, and I'm an oddball. I have one of these AEDs in my trunk. So it took me 30 seconds to remember. My wife ran out and got it. We hooked him up. Shocked his heart, and he was awake and talking before the paramedics got there. So,
and this is in place of CPR? Like if you have this portable thing?
Again, what are we doing in terms of converting the heart back? The heart is electrically in shock. So it's racing so fast that it doesn't effectively pump. So what we do with these defibrillators is basically give a jolt of electricity to shock the heart back into sync and let it kick back into its 1-2 rhythm. And that's the way we successfully resuscitate people. The story comes, I was saying before we got on, at the airport, we put in these automatic defibrillators. Now it's probably about 10 years ago now with the city and the Heart Association. And the survival from a cardiac arrest at O'Hare prior to that was 5%. Only 1 out of 20 did we save because, you know where the sea gates are at United. You imagine how long it takes to get a team of people out to someone who goes down. Now, once the defibrillators went in place, in the year after we put the defibrillators in, and again, every 200 feet, there's that red box, and it says AED, automatic external defibrillator. Once we put them in place that first year, we saved 9 out of 11 cardiac arrests.
Unbelievable.
That's two dramatic. Of them done by guys who had never seen the device ever, took it off the wall, turned it on, talked them through it, because they're totally automated, and they allow us there. And so CPR bridges the time from when someone goes down to when we're able to shock the heart back in sync.
We have a question for you. Dr. Vincent Buffalino, Medical Director of Advocate Heart Institute. We're going to have to ask you to put your headphones on, if you have some headphones there.
Yes.
The volume is where it's plugged in. And this is something we all really should know, so thank you for coming up to help us on this today. Is this Randy?
Yes, it is.
Did you have a question?
How are you?
We're good.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Doctor, are they actually getting away from doing the CPR because when they're actually pushing on the chest, they're actually pushing the air out of the lung?
Yeah, actually, it doesn't seem to matter. The important thing is squeezing the blood volume from the heart to spread over the body. So even though you're pushing the lungs out, the critical piece is to have blood flow to the heart. So by compressing the chest, we're squeezing the heart, forcing the blood along, maintaining as much circulation as possible. And again, we don't have that oxygen. We understand that. But the truth is, by quickly compressing the chest, it sustains them long enough to be able to be around so that when we shock the heart, they come back. By just providing CPR, it actually increases the survival between 2 and 3 times as much as if you don't do CPR.
All right, wonderful. Thank you.
Sure.
Have you ever done CPR on anybody, Bill?
Not in real life, just in like you know,
what,
in high school. Well, in high school, there was that, you know, as we mentioned, there was that.
Resusca Annie.
No, ours was a guy, and we were said. The step
Recessa
one,
Andy.
It was Recessa Andy, and they said step one is you ask the guy, they'd say, hey, buddy, are you okay? So when I had to go up for my final, I went, hey, buddy, are you okay? And I had him go, yeah, I'm fine. Don't leave, just leave me alone. So I said, sit down.
Did you pass that final?
No, I failed. I had to go back and take a summer class. But I think.
But you never know where it's going to happen. I was at a family wedding this summer, and one of the distant cousins, went down at the wedding, had a cardiac arrest at the wedding. My son, who's a cardiologist in training, he and I put him down, started CPR.
And saved his life.
And saved his life.
But you're a cardiologist. You're a cardiologist in training. A lot of people who are just at the wedding, I can only speak for myself. I would want to help, but I would be scared to help.
You know, everybody's scared to help. But I went over this before and just say one more time. Unfortunately, these folks are gone.
Yeah.
And their only chance is if you put that fear aside and jump right in.
Right.
The thing that people worry about is that I'm going to hurt them. The truth is you can't hurt them. They're gone. Even if you press too hard and break a couple ribs, so what? Those ribs
better
heal.
Than being
this
dead.
Is all about being... did you make it or not?
Right.
And so, you know, my son actually broke his rib. He was pressing at his chest, and we were all glad that he broke his rib because he came back.
Sure.
You know? So we were just, you know, in the right place at the right time. But you shouldn't be scared of it because the truth is you can't hurt these folks.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. We have a lot of people that have questions. 312-981-7200. And I believe we are going to perform CPR.
Are we going to save
not
someone?
Not on each other.
Let's save somebody.
We brought Annie today.
Is she here?
She's ready.
It'll be nice to see her
this
again.
This is just half Annie.
Everything we do is.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break and then more CPR fun coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Oh, I get it. Shock the monkey or shock the person who needs to get their heart beating again.
Right.
And do Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees. I'm going to get these mixed up. What about Shock the Monkey? Can I sing Shock the Monkey? Or not fast enough, is it?
You got to go fast.
Faster pacing, Wendy.
Dr. Vincent Buffalino in the studio, medical director of Advocate Heart Institute. We're talking about staying alive CPR training with Advocate Heart Institute. It's Friday the 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Advocate Center Bulls Practice Facility. It's the largest CPR training event in Chicagoland. We'd like you all to attend if you can. You can go to advocatehealth.com/stayinalive. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of questions. Someone said, where do you compress? And they had to hang up.
We compress on the lower end of the chest. So you want to find the end of the breastbone,
mm-hmm.
And put your hand just above that, mm-hmm. and lock your fingers together and press on the chest. So it is the palm of your hand. It is the sort of the underneath your fingers.
Like the knuckle.
That knuckle area. That's the compressing part.
And not so, the heel of your hand.
No, it is there, and that really gives you the best compression.
I think they taught us heel of the hand, didn't they? Is that possible? Did they used to say lower on the hand, or was it always up where you just said?
It has been, you can use the heel of the hand, but
yeah.
It's a little more uncomfortable.
I find that
this is the ability to compress hard and fast.
All right.
All right, quick little question, and then, Bill, you're going to demonstrate CPR, and I can't believe you put a mint in your mouth to do mouth-to-mouth on a half-dummy.
I don't know who the half-dummy talks to after the show. I wanted to leave the half-dummy with a pleasant experience.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah. As soon as I heard Dr. Buffalino, his name, I grew up in Naperville, so I knew his affiliation with Edward, which is a great place. But what you guys are saying is awesome. I'm in an AEMT in the Lake Geneva area, and you guys are preaching to the choir. But I was wondering if Dr. Buffalino had any comments on the Lucas device. I think it's a great, great thing, and it's saving lives.
And what is the Lucas device, Doctor?
So the Lucas device is an automatic CPR machine. You basically, it's a mechanical pump. You put it on the chest, and it basically acts like you would as the CPR person. So we use it in the hospital so we don't have to use up one more person pressing on the chest.
Ah.
And so we let the Lucas device do the work, one. Two, it actually is better than we are because it presses hard enough and rhythmically fast enough.
Oh.
We set it at 100, it's 100. We set it at X amount of compression, it gives it every time. So we get the best CPR. So we had a case recently where someone had a cardiac arrest in the hospital. We took him to the lab where we opened the artery up, and we put the Lucas device on, and it took us 20, 30 minutes to get in, get a wire into the artery, open up the blockage, and put a balloon and stent in there. And the Lucas device did it the whole time. And then we took it off, and the guy came back, his heart stabilized.
That's tremendous.
And went home a couple of days later. So,
good.
You know, it was... It works.
But that's not something you'd use at home. Larry, thank you for bringing that up. But there is something that you could use at home. Tell us about this little kit that I'm seeing in here.
Yes, the Heart Association has a kit called CPR Family and Friends. So this is about teaching your family and friends. So we take these into the schools and teach the kids. And it's basically a blow-up mannequin. It is
a
little mini Annie. And it allows, it gives you enough pressure to be able to feel what it's like to press 2 full inches and 100 times a minute.
It's not easy,
so
is it?
It's very challenging, let's say it that way. That's why you need to practice. But in here is a little video, and in 22 minutes we can teach you how to do CPR at home. We take these home and we ask folks to train 2 other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a part of it. The kits are like $29, I think, and it's a cool way to teach people CPR.
$30. Listen to this. When you know someone who has just purchased their first house, get them this as a housewarming
gift.
That's a
great idea.
For $30, how great would that be? I'm going to get one. I want one in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to Bill, and we're going to videotape this. You can see this at WGNradio.com. Can you explain to Bill what to do with this thing?
So Bill, take your old CPR training skills out.
All right, I'm ready.
Stand up.
Right.
Over
do you want to move her over
the
there?
Mannequin.
Yeah.
She's looking into your eyes.
By the way, heart problems are the biggest concern for this person because you're looking at basically a half a head and a chest.
Can I ask a really, and I'm not being funny here. This is I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but there are no boobs. So what if you have a very busty woman? Isn't it going to be harder to get in there?
More people would probably want to save that person.
Yeah, there you go. You know, actually, when folks are laying flat, actually the breasts seem to go off to the side typically.
Unless so they're implants. Someone told me that's how you can tell. What if you pop an implant? Still better so pop an implant than be dead. Yep. All right. Just curious.
Papa Implant was my rapper name, by the way.
Shut up. You make a joke of this.
I'm just saying. All right. So what do I need to do?
Left hand on the chest.
Right.
Left.
And your fingers on top of your left hand to
lock
give
it
you
in.
Lock it together.
Lock and lock.
And, and begin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10. That's it. Great compression. You're pushing fast. You're pushing hard. You want to come down a little bit, a little lower on the chest. There
like
you
this.
Go. There. And you feel how tough it is.
My voice.
And we're going to wear Bill out. He's going to not going to last more than a few minutes because it just shows you how difficult it is in that just doing it this hard and this fast. So, but it is a skill that you can learn. Very good.
All right, so how long does he have to keep this up till authorities arrive?
Until I show up with an AED. That automatic defibrillator is how we're going to shock his heart back into shape.
You cannot put the pointer finger up while
That's what they did in the movie, though.
Good.
That's why Andy Gibb is dead.
Congratulations, and she's waking up.
She's fine now. Well, oh, she's fantastic.
Did she wake up? Her mouth is open.
She's very happy.
So, all right, that takes a lot out of you. Come on, you're in good shape, but you're working up a sweat.
For 5 or 10 minutes.
Hard to do by yourself, and that's why you're hoping other people are there. So you can trade off. So you want to just quickly switch. And what you want to do is do it as continuous as possible.
Sure.
For as long as possible till the 911 crew arrives. And, you know, the response time typically is, you know, excellent. Most of the time, you know, within 5 to 8 minutes, you have a crew at the site of the call.
So not just when they regain consciousness, but when there's somebody who's trained there, that's when you want to stop.
Well, if they regain consciousness and start moving around,
then it's okay to stop.
Congratulations.
Because they're going to punch you if you keep doing it.
At some point, the likelihood is not that. The likelihood is you're going to have to wait for the 911.
Yeah,
crew.
I would think. Okay.
Okay, and an honest-to-goodness question here. Bill is much stronger than I am, and I'll be honest with you, women have weaker upper body strength. So it really does take a lot. What if I feel I can't do it hard enough? Is it still worth trying?
You know, any CPR is better than no CPR. So, you know, you can't do bad CPR. Now, can you do it better over time? Sure. But the truth is, you know, start out easy and begin and use it. Don't go as long as you can, Wendy. Give it a shot.
You can do this. Someone's life is at stake. It's Gwen Stefani. Are you still going to do it? No, you can't punch her in the head. You have to give her a heart massage for heaven's
sake. I'm not doing it. A little lower?
Yeah, lower.
Go ahead.
The bottom. So, like, in between the nipples?
There you go, right there.
Oh, so I'm supposed to hear that?
Yeah. Always carry this on your iPod. Have a Bee Gees selection.
I would be burnt out. I could keep going, I guess. And if you're looking at this person, your adrenaline is up.
Your adrenaline's up. You'd be surprised. You rise to the occasion. Most people do.
But the pacing is about twice a second, right? Is about
it's about twice a second. You're going to be 100 to 120 beats a minute. So, you know, it's a fair amount of compression, but you can do it.
Yeah.
And the point is that, again, you can't hurt these folks.
Oh, wait. No, she's dead.
This is her chance.
Wendy just handed me that. Yeah. She's killed her. But also, there's got to be some adrenaline going through you when you realize what's at stake here.
I
somebody's
just said
life,
that.
So, right?
Did you pass out? Should I?
No,
I was CPR you?
It's a fly made.
But that
is
it.
Yeah, I think you will rise to the occasion. Absolutely.
All right. So how do we find out more about the Advocate Heart Institute, Stayin' Alive, CPR training? It is the largest CPR training event in Chicagoland. It's happening Friday the 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Website for that?
Website is www.advocatehealth.com/stayinalive. Benny the Bull and I will be there to host you. And so we're looking forward to you showing up, and we'll get you trained.
And how do we get one of those, what is it called from the American Heart Association, that little at-home friends and family?
CPR family and friends.
How weird would it be you black out?
Call the American Heart Association at 312-346-4675.
What if you blacked out and then you come to and it's Benny the Bull over you just pumping on you?
That'd be weird. Ronnie Woo Woo.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is better. Dr. Bill Foligno, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A quick break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill Left and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Phil F., and it's Wendy Snyder, and we have another hour to go, and then Rowan Anna will come in and take over. Did you see the photographs, by the way, of Charlize Theron in Hollywood being extremely rough with her child, her four-year-old child, her son?
Yes, and I just want to say that women are damned if they do and damned if they don't, because you recall you brought up a story a while ago about a kid in a restaurant who was crying, and another patron at a neighboring table mm-hmm. sent a note saying, you know, thanks mm-hmm. for ruining our dinner with your crying kid.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people complaining if you don't do anything to reprimand your kid, and then if you do reprimand your kid, you're called a bully.
I think I agree with you. I don't know.
When will you decide?
I will have a decision 6 days from now.
Okay.
On Monday of next week, I will tell you if I agree with you or not. I don't know what Charlize Theron's child could have done. He's 4 years old, her son Jackson. What you see in the pictures, this is according to OK.com. I saw the pictures on there. And what I'm seeing is not OK, by the way. It should be on NotOK.com. You see Charlize Theron dragging her four-year-old. There's several pictures. There's no video of it, but there's several pictures of her just trying to contain this kid and hold on to his arms and pull him back, and then he's on the ground, and you see her literally, and I'm using it correctly because she's doing it, she's dragging the kid in the parking lot.
I've done this.
To Charlize Theron's kid?
No, to Sean Penn. I have done this, and you don't know the circumstances.
I have no idea what was going on prior
but
to this.
These are pictures, and, you know, sometimes you want to get your kid out of the situation, and if a kid is having a tantrum,
yeah,
you do what you can to get them out of the situation. There's probably some videotape of me at some Marshall's in Woodridge.
Yeah. What happened? What'd you do?
Dylan was underneath the clothing. This was so many years ago. And he was having a meltdown, and you try talking to him. And at that point, there is no rationalizing with a child.
Yeah.
And you grab their arm, and you are, I mean, I wasn't dragging him on the floor, but you are forcefully and forcibly removing him from the store. And if anybody looked at me, they would have thought, you know, I was kidnapping
sure.
a kid. And you don't know. A lot of times kids can be like Dennis Rodman, too, and flop and make it appear worse than it is.
Right.
And then you can have a really smart kid that says, she's not my mom.
That's the best move.
That's what Dylan did.
Right. Hey, lady, leave me alone. I'm going to call my parents.
Yeah.
Just keep doing that.
Or as I'm dragging him out, she's not my mommy.
Yep.
Yes, I am. And people look at you and you're horrified. And you know what? You do what you have to do. And you get yelled at as a mom for not doing something. You get yelled at as a mom for doing something.
So in a case like this, and again, we don't know what preceded this. All we know is that there's a series of photographs of Charlize Theron. Just, I can't even say dragging because it looks so much more brutal than that. She's doing everything
she's
in her power.
She's grabbing him
yeah.
and trying to control him. She's grabbed him by the arm. I'm telling you, you know, God forbid, good luck, and I hope you never have to be in this situation, but I'm sure there are some moms out there, and I am one of them that has been in this situation, that if
so
someone saw me.
I don't like that you just keep saying moms. I mean, dads do this too.
You're right, but I don't know. I guess, and it might look worse for a dad doing it because, you know, a dad is strong, and
mm-hmm.
but I've been there.
So
it's not fun.
So would you say to personnel in a store, would you say, hey, the next few minutes are going to be a little difficult?
No one said
Trust
anything
me.
To me.
Nobody did. Nobody worked
you.
At the store.
And Steve, the only reason I guess I say moms is because I am a mom and I did it, and I've seen other moms have to do it.
Yeah.
And no one judged me. And I've seen other moms do it, and you just kind of look like, I know where you're coming from. You can't judge people because you don't know what position you're going to be in.
I've been in plenty of stores where I see kids go ballistic. For some reason, it happens more often in a grocery store. Maybe it's because there's so many things that a kid could potentially want between cereal and candy and stuff, cookies. Every aisle brings something new to a kid, so I can see where there'd be some sort of a moment or two. But if you have your kids with you, the parent gives you a quick, like, you're a parent, you know what I'm going through. But if it's just me on my own, a parent looks at me like, you have no idea what this moment is like for me right now. Even though I do.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. And then Charlize Theron, or however you say her name, is like now this big bully. I don't know what the situation was.
Oh, people are criticizing her from all four corners of the globe.
I got to
tell you,
I'm looking at the pictures and I don't see what the issue is.
I know, and
you don't think?
No, I don't. I really don't, Bill. I mean, the little boy is
trying to get away.
Flailing,
it appears,
you know.
He's on the ground. He's squirming. He's flailing.
Sure,
he wants
she's
out of
holding
this.
Him up.
She's not beating him.
No,
she is
she's
trying
not.
To gain control of him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say she's dragging him. She's.
Yeah. I agree with you, Steve. And
I've totally done this.
Have you really? Because I feel funny admitting that I have, because, you know, now people are going to hate me and Charlize and Steve Bertrand.
No, don't hate me.
No,
him.
I mean, I didn't
don't.
Do it as bad as you did, I'm sure. But.
I'm telling you, and it's humiliating, and really, there are people, seriously, who will say, oh, what a bully, but then if her kid was acting up and she didn't do anything, she'd get in trouble for that, too.
Do you have some sort of an agreement where you can say to the kid in a situation like this, don't do this here. Let's okay. postpone this. Can we
have
go?
You, I know you have the world's most perfect daughters. And I've I guess they came out of the womb being like 18 and sweet and bright and charming.
I swear to you, and I feel bad for this, I cannot relate to this. We've never had an incident where
well,
they've done
God.
This.
Well, thank God. And I'm, don't judge others.
No, I know.
And remember, she had looks like a younger child already in a car seat in the car.
Right.
Right, so there are times where your hands are tied.
But then, Steve, there's pictures of her later putting that baby seat on the roof and driving home. Right.
See,
and
that's
also
not funny.
That's
not
because
something.
They were going to charge her for leaving the kid in the car.
Guys,
right.
joke
in a
about
hot car
that.
Unattended.
But it has happened. There have been frantic parents, moms, and dads in the news where they put the car seat on the roof and they're getting everything together to take their kid to daycare and they forget the car's on
oh,
the roof
no.
and they drive away and that oh. baby is dead.
Oh no.
So again, don't judge.
Oh.
Hi Laura.
Hi, Wendy.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Wendy. I had my older son was prone to tantrums and it may look bad, but you don't know what else to do. And they are smart. When you're in public and they know people are watching, they are smart, and they will give you the hardest time. And if you haven't lived through it, you don't understand it, maybe, you know. But I totally agree with you, Wendy.
And well, you had this happen more than once to you, Laura? Did it happen several times? Yeah?
Yeah, well, my son was preemie, and he had cerebral palsy, and neither one, my husband nor I, knew how to take care of kids. I mean, we were young, and my husband was a compulsive gambler and gone most of the time. Even when he was home, he was gone.
So you had
and
your hands son, full.
I had my hands full, and my heart goes out to people who have that, you know, with their children. It looked bad, but these kids are smart.
Yeah.
And they know. They know. My son once said to me in a grocery store, if you don't get me that, I'm going to hit the next person that walks by. And he did. Not hard or anything, but, you know, he was prone. Kids can be really... Now, my other son, my younger son, was real easy. But some kids are really, for whatever reason, they're prone to tantrums. That's my take on it. And you do the best you can. You do the best you can.
And really, people have to stop judging other people because you don't know the whole story.
You do not. You never do know the whole story unless you actually, you know, converse with that person. You know, walk a mile in my shoes. You have no idea.
Thank you so much, Laura. Thank you for checking in. Another comment here. Is this Chrissy?
This is Chrissy.
Hi, Chrissy.
All I have to say is thank God the paparazzi doesn't follow me because they would get so many pictures of me with my kids.
What happened?
Well, I've got five little ones. And
oh, my God.
My three-year-old daughter right now is the most strong-willed, independent little girl, and she just will push every button that she can. And I'm sorry, but unless you've walked a mile, you can say unless you've walked a mile, but, you know, you're commenting that, you know, you don't know what it's like to have kids like that. Oh, yeah. My gosh. I've got two like that, you know, and it's when they team up on me. Oh, my goodness. It is just.
And Laura's right when she said kids are smart and they almost turn it on. And I mentioned being like Dennis Rodman where
right.
they'll flop. You know, like I would grab Dylan's arm and he would like say, she hit me. I'm like,
oh,
I
yeah.
did not. I mean, they really
they
work
play it
the
up.
Room.
Yeah.
Oh, they play it up. They play it up for sure.
I hope things get better for you.
Oh, they will.
They will.
Grow up.
In 20 years, call us back, Christy.
Right. They're 10, 5, 3, 1, and 2 months right now.
Wow.
So I'm a busy mom, but.
It sounds like it, Christy.
You should get a babysitter, and I'd like to take you out for some drinks. You need it.
Oh, that'd be great. I certainly do.
I'll watch the kids. It'll be fun.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much. Good luck.
I love the kid who says, if you don't buy me this, I'm just going to hit the next person who walks down the aisle. That's pretty brilliant for a little kid.
I think this was some troubled children. Didn't she say he had some issues?
But despite the issues, to think that far in advance, like I'm putting a total stranger in danger if you don't get me what I want, that's an extra step. That's amazing. All right.
You are so lucky.
I guess I am. All right. We'll take a quick break, but more of your calls and texts next. 312-981-7200 is the number. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. If you're just joining us, it's Bill and Wendy. Charlize Theron is being criticized by some. Applauded by others.
I don't know if anyone's applauding.
Somebody
her.
Applauded for her. I don't know who it was. Someone way in the back. there are pictures of her, of Charlize Theron, online. She is dragging her 4-year-old son Jackson out of a parking lot. This is after a dance class in Hollywood, California. That explains why he's wearing ballerina shoes. And all the pictures, I'm looking at these pictures and I'm going, all right, it's terrible that there's some roughhousing going on in the parking lot, but why is she subjecting her son to wear ballet shoes? Turns out he had just been a part of a dance class there in Hollywood.
Why would you say why is she subjecting him to ballet shoes? Maybe he wanted to wear ballet shoes and you pick your battles.
Yeah, but you know me, I'm a ballet shoe purist. I think if you're doing ballet, if you're performing in Swan Lake, put on the ballet shoes. But if you're just walking around town, it's out of place. Anyway, she's being a little rough with the kid. Wendy says that happens. If your kid is doing something and you got to get them to a different place, sometimes you have to take a little more brute force.
And I will read this side of it too. 630, like Bill, I cannot relate to people who have children like this. In my opinion, children who behave like this in public have weak parents and there are parenting issues at home. Just my opinion. Those are people I would like to have them come to my house for dinner. I would like to have them know me and I would like to explain to them that, you know, kids have their own little minds and they're trying to figure things out.
Right.
And you can control them to a point and ultimately you teach them how to act right. But there are some tough points in the middle of it.
But you know, there are people, and I do consider myself fortunate to be in this group. I cannot relate to this at all. There was never one time where either of the kids, either of my daughters, did anything like this that would force us to physically move them. It just didn't happen. I wouldn't know what to do.
And you don't know what to do. You want to get out of there, and you don't want to give in.
Right.
Someone, 815, you should see if there is any correlation between parents that spank versus no spank and temper tantrums of their kids. I spanked.
Yeah.
When necessary. Still had one who had temper tantrums. Stop saying Bill's lucky. He's a good parent. It isn't luck.
I think it may be a combination of the two. It's their chemical makeup to not be that way. I mean, I've seen plenty of kids act that way, but I wouldn't, it's so foreign to me to even think of one of my daughters being like that. It's just not them, you know? And it wasn't me either. Like when I was a kid, I never had that. If my parents said something, it's time to go, I'd go, well, I guess it's time to go.
I've been known to have a tantrum.
I'd put my ballet shoes on and we'd go.
That's just not nice. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. Oh, my goodness. You got to ask Bill after I get done what he would do with a child like that.
I don't know.
Oh, yes, you do. You do exactly what everybody else has done. I grabbed my kid by the arm and said, we're going, and they're yelling and hollering, and I pull them all the way out to the car. Yeah, I had 5 kids. You do that. What are you going to do otherwise? Let them lay on the floor and kick their feet and stand there and watch them? I also had just the opposite. When I was working one time, a woman came in and the kid was misbehaving. She picked him up and put him on a shelf. And
wait.
Put the kid on a shelf?
Talk to him for one whole hour. Well, it was like the garbage thing or something. It was right by the... by the door.
And she tried to reason with him for an hour.
She tried to reason with him for an hour, and all of us are going, take that kid home. go home with him. I mean, talk to him for an hour. And he just sat there and, you know, belligerent, looking yeah. at her. I ain't doing this, you know. Oh.
What kind of shelf? Work. Like the reduced items shelf or something? Because I don't know what shelf.
Like an elf on a shelf.
No. You know, when you walk in the store, sometimes there's like garbage cans in or whatever.
Like where you used to stand and write checks or something. There'd be a little counter.
The check writing shelf.
Right. I don't know.
Right.
And so that's where she sat with him for an hour.
Jerry, can I ask you a question? And I should have asked the other mom, too. Your kids turn out okay just because they had
wonderful.
See?
Oh, my God. I've got five kids. I have, everyone is got good jobs. They're one owned a business. One is working. Two of them are working now. Two are retired. I mean, goodness. I had no, you know.
Good.
The regular, I think like everybody else.
Yeah.
But you have to get, everyone gets to adulthood in different ways.
Right.
And some kids have different ways of getting there.
Yep.
Yeah. And they're not all Shirley Temple. They're
Bill's daughters are.
Minds of their
actually,
own.
They're way cuter.
You know, they're little people, and they do have minds of their own, and they're going to fight you back sometime. And you just got to stand your ground. You're the parent. Remember that.
So true.
You're the parent.
Jerry, thank you so much. We have a ton of people who want to talk. Should we take a break, do some news?
Let's do that. We'll put ourselves on the shelf for a couple minutes. We'll come back. We'll take your calls and your texts, 312-981-7200. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
A lot of people talking, Bill.
Yeah, the story has come out. Charlize Theron, actress extraordinaire, great actress, in all honesty. She's in she's in several movies over the years, but she's in the new Mad Max movie, Fury Road. She's great in that. She's always good. She was taking her son, Jackson, to a dance class over the weekend. And then there are pictures of her that are on the internet now where it looks like she is forcibly moving Jackson in the parking lot. He's down for some of the pictures. He's up for some. She's got him. She's grabbing him by the arm, and she's forcibly moving him into the car. He doesn't seem to want to be going, but she's
insistent.
Resisting. He is resisting arrest. And people online are taking swipes at her saying, what kind of a mother is Charlize Theron being so mean to a four-year-old? But as we've discussed this, there's plenty of people on the other side who say, I've got a child who acts exactly this way. I know what Charlize Theron is going through.
And there are just mixed emotions here. I got to be honest with you. In our audience, most people are supportive of this. And, you know, I hope it never happens to you. It's happened to me. And Anne, what do you think about this?
Hi there. So I've been on both sides. So I had three boys in 3 years, and you never know when you're out and about which one's going to act up, or none of them, but usually there's one. And so just to your point, Wendy, instead of being critical, it would have been nice for someone to help me out. So now that my boys are older, when I'm out and about and I see someone who has their hands full with some children that are unhappy, I'll go up and say to them, I have been in your same shoes before. Can I help you? Can I watch the one while you help get the other one out the door? Can I walk with you to your car? And the fact that they look at me like, oh, my gosh, you're not going to criticize me, but you're going to help me, makes such a huge difference because it calms the situation down.
And that is the best advice I've ever heard, honestly.
So understanding.
And if I was putting myself in that position and someone said, can I help, I think I would be so unbelievably embarrassed, but I would say, yes, could you talk to him for a moment? And quite honestly, a kid is going to be nicer to a stranger.
Or bite the stranger.
Well, that's the risk that Anne takes when offering to help.
Right.
But you're right.
But it interrupts the dynamic,
right?
Too. So
and people have taken you up on this, though, right? People have said, yeah, please help me, yeah? Wow.
Yeah. There's been one where they say, you know, because you're right there with the parent. They'll say, okay, well, I'll watch this one. You put the code on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you need me help, you know, sometimes it's just enough that they can handle it from there. But just to interrupt the dynamics. And usually, again, the parent usually is very grateful just to have someone, other adult, be on their side.
I would think. Wow. Good for you. That's
great.
I'm
going to remember that, Anne. I really am.
Good. I think you would do it, too. You'd be wonderful at it.
It was someone else's kids. My kids, of course, would tell you a different story, but they're thankfully past the tantrum stage. Thank you, Ann.
Sometimes, I have to say this, and I know there's other people that want to come in, and I'll give them a chance to. Sometimes there are parents that just, you can tell, they have just given up. I mean, I've been in a couple of situations. There was a time on an L train, not last summer, the summer before, I was riding to the Cubs game, and there were three little kids that were playing Cowboys and Indians on the L car. And the parents, the dad kept doing this. Guys, seriously, stop. Guys, I mean it. Stop. Could you just stop? Could you please just stop? I mean, wasn't raising his voice or anything, but he just had the look of somebody of like, I've played this game before. I never win this game, so I give up.
He's
I can't
defeated.
Win.
Yeah. That's when you go to family therapy. Trust me on that one.
Maybe that's
really,
where they were heading.
You need some help sometimes, you know? Hi, Nancy. What about you?
Well, I think Ann gave very, very good advice. I have two birth children and two adopted children. And I believe that we were the same parents for all four of them, but kids come with different playing boards and playing pieces. And I have dragged people across parking lots and out of church and all kinds of different places just because they're different people. They respond differently. My two birth children are very, very responsible, you know, people, and the two adaptees are still under development.
Under construction, I like to say.
Under construction, yes.
Thank you so much. And that's it. Somebody said there are some kids who are much stronger willed or may have other issues than others who can be difficult to control no right. matter how conscientious you are as a parent. Nobody knows these things unless they have lived through them.
Is there a correlation? Most of the stories we've heard have been about boys misbehaving, whereas the girls tend to be behaving. Is there a correlation, do you think, between that or not?
A lot of them say boys are different than girls.
Yeah.
But then again, your mileage may vary because 708 says my 11-year-old son is calm, mm-hmm. easy, goes along with whatever. Then my 7-year-old daughter is whining, drama, tantrums.
Oh.
Same parents, so it's definitely a kid's temperament thing.
Yeah.
Which is, that's what it is. They have their own little minds, and all of a sudden one day they realize, hey, I can control something. I'm going to try and control more. In a way, that's how they develop.
Yeah.
And everybody develops differently. As for Charlize Theron, somebody was saying, all anyone can read into those pictures of the beautiful Charlize Theron does not have a perfect child nor a perfect life, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
But don't judge others.
Nope.
Try and help them, as Anne suggested.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes, we should keep her on retainer. We should keep her on speed dial. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then a big story. Ryan Burrow is going to help us through it. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's a story that we covered on the show about a week ago, but there have been some new developments, and so Ryan Burrow joins us right now to talk about the case against Peyton Manning. Ryan, thank you very much for being here.
Wait a minute, That's not what was pitched to me here, but the case against Peyton Manning. No, I wanted to tell you that the all of the University of Tennessee coaches got together. This is 16 of the coaches. Kind of an awkward thing. We're usually used to one-on-one, maybe a couple people coming up and speaking in the microphone, but this is one of those, you know, like sometimes when there's Hollywood screenings where they'll all kind of sit in their chairs mm-hmm. and they'll pass the microphone around. That's kind of what this was. And this is men's coaches, women's coaches, basketball, football, tennis, softball, you name it. They were all up there essentially defending the culture at University of Tennessee Athletics, because it's, you know, since this lawsuit came out earlier this month, it's kind of got a bad rap. Now, you got to understand, these coaches have to do recruiting across the country, right?
Right.
It's hard to go into, you know, little Timmy's or Madison's, you know, living room and tell mom and dad everything's swell. Come on out to Knoxville, you know, when all of these rumors are circulating. So I think this was part damage control. It's important to note the athletic director was not there, apparently was traveling, which of course leads some questions. Why couldn't they just wait until after? You know, what prompted this to happen today? But all 16 coaches were out there, mostly defending the program, also defending the football program over this this lawsuit. They didn't speak directly to the lawsuit, with one exception. Coach Butch Jones, the football coach, saying,
Butch,
you know,
isn't that just such a coach's name? Hey, Butchy really boy.
You should have a coach named Butch.
You know what? This kid is going to be a football coach. That's
right.
How you do it right
so
there.
the allegations are what exactly?
Yeah.
What
this is the lawsuit that was filed by the six women, Tennessee, saying that Tennessee policies made students more vulnerable to sexual assault. The school has clearly unreasonable responses to issues of sexual assault, and that the school interfered with disciplinary processes to favor male athletes. This dates back over several decades. You guys discussed the Peyton Manning thing. That's not the only one. That's the one that we all focus on,
because
we all, you know, like Papa John's pizza.
I'm sorry, that guy scares me. He's as weird looking as the Burger King.
There have been several incidents, though, questionable incidents that this lawsuit brings up. So they're basically trying to go into damage control mode and say, look, we've got a good culture here. It's safe to send your son or daughter here. That's the question. And like I said, you really have to think about this in the perspective that they are. They've got to go across the country and try to recruit the best athletes. And if that athlete has a choice to go to U of I or Ohio State or Tennessee to play a sport, you know, all of a sudden Tennessee starts falling down that list, right?
Of course, yeah. So behind the scenes, Ryan, what happens? Is this a PR move? Does somebody say, with recruitment happening now, we really need to do something to bolster up our image, and the best thing we can do is, there's all these rumors out there, the best thing we can do is just head on, address them. That's what goes on.
I don't know if there was one singular behind the scenes moment. I'm sure all the coaches, you know, they work in the same hallway. They deal with each other all the time. I'm sure that they've had many, late nights having conversations in offices, you know, and talked about this and said, you know what, we really got to get ahead of this, and we really have to try to stop this because we're getting dragged into the mud right now. I mean, it's your classic PR move, right?
All it takes is one school and one person to have these allegations come forward and they say, that's it, you're off the team. Don't you think other schools would follow?
As far as what?
Where there was not proper disciplinary actions for the football team members.
Yeah, I mean, usually you would take it, you know, if something happened, and I'm just using this as a reference because we all know, if something happened at Northwestern, you'd think that, you know, it would be taken care of right there.
Yeah.
And a coach would be gone, or an athletic director. I mean, we've seen problems with the athletic department at University of Illinois where coaches were fired, athletic director fired. This is interesting, though, because you have to understand this lawsuit goes back several decades. I mean, Peyton Manning alone would have been in the late 90s. A lot of those coaches have cycled through. You know, we've had coaches and athletic directors since then, administrators since then. So, you know, it seems to focus more on kind of the culture now. You know, this is where we're at now.
Moving forward.
Don't worry about, you know, all the stuff that happened back then. That'll all get sorted out.
They didn't bring up Peyton Manning at all during this, right?
I did not hear anything on that. No,
I think we just did.
Yeah. I thought that I was sure that would be the focus of this. I thought it would be a much bigger play, but it wasn't.
You know, they didn't really talk too much specifically about the lawsuit. Butch Jones did say, you know, that they're taking it very, very seriously. But for the most part, they just spoke to the culture.
Yeah.
You know, the CYA, you know, as far as that goes, they didn't want to get in trouble.
All right. So what happens next? What's our next move?
We'll see how this lawsuit moves forward. And we'll see, you know, what, if anything, the athletic director has to say about the press conference, because he's apparently off on the road right now. And we'll come back at some point and we'll have to answer a question or two.
I would imagine.
Is this Butch?
No,
he was there.
No, it's Dave Hart. Out of town.
But they're obviously, and they should be, taking this extremely seriously. This isn't something you just brush under the rug, even though in some of the instances, aka Peyton Manning, it seems to have been brushed under a rug. You have to do something about this.
Yeah, I mean, remember, this is just a lawsuit at this point. Anyone can file a lawsuit. Nothing has gone through. Nothing has been confirmed. So we're still kind of talking in the allegedly mode.
Yeah.
We'll see kind of how the lawsuit falls and how UT responds. Usually, a lot of schools, we saw it with Louisville, you know, they try to preempt any kind of damage by coming out with restrictions. We saw it with the basketball team after the sexual scandal there. They went and assessed their own punishment against themselves, taking them out of the postseason.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, especially with the way they're rolling. You know, you'd think that basketball team would be pretty good, and they, you know, took themselves out of the running. But they also said behind the scenes that maybe they were kind of, their hand was kind of forced by the NCAA. So we don't know what, you know, kind of prompted this press conference. It may have been the NCAA saying, hey, look, we're getting a lot of questions here.
You guys
might want to get out in front of this. Or the university president saying, let's
Yeah.
get something on paper so these people can write a story that's two-sided.
And there's more and more stories that are starting to develop where they talk about the hidden culture that goes on in these college programs. It's not pretty just because
hidden
we call
culture. That's
no,
great.
You know what? I'm sure that University of Tennessee is not the only school
of
where
course.
This happens. I'm sure this happens across the country. Big schools, little schools, schools you might not think about, you know,
where they'll buy accusers off just to keep the name of the program as
sure.
solid as they can.
Sure.
It's terrible. It's awful. And yeah. then they make the victims seem like they're the guilty party. It shouldn't go on that way.
Why is everyone lying to us?
Well,
the whole world
it
is
seems,
lying
it
to us.
It seems like it. Ryan, you're not lying to us. Uh-oh.
No.
Uh-oh.
No.
Uh-oh.
Ryan,
gotten
good
you.
At it.
Thank you.
Thank
That's
you.
Ryan Burrow from upstairs in the news department. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Ro and Anna have next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.